Hey, Joel Radio's back. Corey Hall is here.
Hello.
We're all here. The gang's all here.
Yeah.
Last you heard me and Corey, we were yelling at each other. And now we're back to yell at each other some more.
Ira is here. The douche is here.
We'll see.
Dave and Chuck the Freak.
That's right.
Missile Man.
We're going to give away $1,000.
That's right.
When you hear the phrase that pays, just call in at 610-552-07.
Corey, Joel, going to pay your bills. FM98 WJLB.
We got your Eddie Money tickets at DTE Energy Music Theater. Kicking off the summer concert series.
Eddie Money will personally give you tickets. He'll put them in your pants.
Eddie Money.
We got money in your pants. Eddie Money will put tickets in your pants.
Eddie Money will park your car at the DTE Energy Music Theater this summer.
Anything, man, to keep that sad, sad,
you know,
destitute career afloat.
My friend from California, and I was like, well, you know, Eddie Money's like, you know, I was like, do you have Eddie Money in California? She was like, yeah. And I was like, well, do they do the annual Eddie Money concert kickoff series? And she's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's just Detroit. I think for some reason we got saddled with that.
Is there like another city he's big in?
I don't know.
Does like Des Moines have to deal with his bullshit?
Well, but Des Moines might say, hey, we're going to kick things off with Cheap Trick the first Friday in May. And that's the big concert. So maybe there's just different guys in different times.
Well, he's here every year.
Yeah, he comes every year.
He comes here every year.
It's the first concert at the DT Energy Music Theater.
I sat with him for
every summer.
15 minutes in the green room.
Yes.
At the Fox 2.
Yeah.
He patrols. Yeah, he comes here every year. Detroit's very parochial. And I feel like there's... Okay, I always say that like if you're a black celebrity, you're good for life.
Yeah.
Like Morris Chestnut is still famous in the black community. Mm-hmm. You know, white people wouldn't know who Morris Chestnut was. But
well,
like,
they put, I mean, he's in stuff.
You know what I'm saying, though? There's a level of like Kevin Corrigan has been in 800 movies.
Yeah.
And white people go, who?
Yeah, we don't know who that is.
He's Spider in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
But just to name one of his hundreds of roles. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like minor black actors are famous forever because it's a smaller community. Detroit will keep Eddie Money going till the end of time. You know what I mean? There's like certain
was it Kevin
like,
Corrigan, brother Mikey.
Yeah,
Michael Imperioli was Spider.
Oh, Michael Imperioli.
Kevin
was
Corrigan
right.
was
right.
brother
no, right.
was
brother
Mikey,
Mikey.
Yeah, brother
yeah,
Mikey
right.
in the wheelchair.
Yeah. You're right. All right, I got that.
I just want to believe me. If I get Goodfellas wrong, I can't go to my
yeah, exactly.
my family. They will not let me
well,
to
no.
the family dinner table if
because
I get Goodfellas wrong.
In the Dago community, there's a lot of guys. yeah. that are, you know, the Pauly Walnuts is a big deal.
I can't get that wrong.
Right.
I got to go see Uncle Albert. He's not going to let me get wrong the guys in Goodfellas.
There's no bigger star than Joey Pants in the Italian community, correct? It's like, you know.
Well, you know, I did a scene with Michael Imperioli on Detroit 187.
And your family.
And it was amazing.
Your family was like, oh, my God, Joel.
I was a superstar. For
oh, just look at his chagoots.
Yeah. So what were you saying? Did I interrupt?
No,
I interrupted
just, no, it's fine. It was
Eddie Money.
He'll never go away.
Well, yeah, you're saying in Detroit, if you're a star, you're a star.
You know what I mean?
Life,
there's
yeah.
like, Mort Krim was a news anchor here and hasn't done the news in 20 years, but he does like weather commercials.
Oh, and Emery King and all those guys.
Yeah, Emery King
is
lost
on every
his anchor
thing.
Gig in like 1996.
Still.
And now he does like commercials for the hospital system.
Yeah, yeah. Crittenden Hospital or something.
The Minds of Medicine.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then you just never... And Eli Zarrett, like, you just never go away. You
Emery King was famous for, if you know Howard Stern, Howard used to play the clip of the Connie Chung thing, where he goes, how do I know, Connie? When she was like, President Reagan is landing today. And,
oh, right. He was like a White House correspondent.
Yeah, and he was like, he used to follow, the you know, Reagan around.
Right.
And they fired him because he you know, he didn't know he was on the air, and he made that mistake, and... Then Emery King got a job in Detroit and became a fucking hero.
The man had a national career.
He was a disgraced national anchor, and Detroit embraced him and made him a superstar.
Well,
you know, he lectured to my one of my media classes in college. We had Emery King come in. And I came really, really close to going, tell us about Connie Chung. And I didn't want to, but I didn't. I actually took my college career seriously.
You didn't want to zing him?
Unlike everything else, and I didn't zing him. And I let him off the hook, so.
You didn't want to shine his rhubarb up a little
well,
bit?
Well, you know, I think he would have to explain it, and I don't know if it was.
He probably wouldn't have answered it either.
I don't know what, but yeah. I know, like, you know, he was friends with my professor, and my professor mm-hmm. might have been like, well, I'm going to give that asshole an F.
You didn't want to make him look bad.
Yeah, and I didn't want to make myself look bad in the eyes of him.
Yeah. Well, speaking of local celebrities that last forever here.
Yes.
So Chuck Gatica
yes.
has been the news guy. He's been a weather guy. He started at Channel 2. I think he came from Indiana or something in like the early 80s. And then he said he's been at Channel 4 for 29 years. So like I don't remember a time when there wasn't Chuck Gatica doing weather.
I think he came on in the late 80s, probably, something like that. Yeah,
but he was on like channel sometime in 84, 85.
So he was a giant, he was the big weatherman.
Yes.
He was the A weatherman in town.
Right. And then about a year ago, he retired
mm-hmm.
To go, he said he got his calling. Yes. And no, I remember, Chuck, I remember like I went to like Boy Scout day camp or like Cub Scout day camp or something. You know, like it was a Weeblo.
Yeah.
You'd go shoot bow and arrows and stuff in the park. It was nice. And he came in and did like a weather.
Oh.
He did like a weather demo for us where he shook up the thing in the glass, you know, container and told us about cumulus clouds. And that was like 86 or 87 mm-hmm. or something. You know, so the guy's been around forever. And that's, you can just have a career like that forever in this town. You can just, and our buddy Jason Carr.
Yeah.
Was the morning anchor on Fox 2, which, you know, I...
Well, he was the... He did the talk show.
Yeah, he did their late breakfast show.
The 9 o'clock chat
9
show,
to 11.
Yeah.
They're like...
He wasn't the news anchor, although he did anchor the news.
He does
But he was
anchor.
Basically the guy who did, you know, the coffee talk.
Yes.
Yeah, he did coffee talk.
And but I did
from
the
9
show,
to 11.
I did the show with him for a couple years.
Yeah, you were on there for a long time.
He had me on a lot because he would do Match Game, and he liked to have somebody who could get a joke in.
And he was the biggest guy on that show. He was the star of that show.
It was basically his show.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the running bits and all the gags kind of came out of Jason.
Yeah.
Well, Fox nationally decided they were going to cut some paychecks.
Yeah.
So Jason and Lee Thomas, who was the film critic, mm-hmm. Who I've known for many, many years, and did the segment together with, They just arbitrarily looked at the numbers and went, here's where we're going to cut.
Yeah.
And so they got the axe, and Monday was their last show.
Yeah.
But they had a 2-month period where they were on air.
Yeah, that
like,
was weird.
Goofing about how they were getting axed.
Yeah.
And then Jason, it turns out, apparently there was not a no compete clause or it was waived because Jason, and this I've never seen this happen on local TV.
Yeah.
Jason finished the 11 o'clock show, you know, when the goes to 9 to 11, finished his last show at Fox 2,
mm-hmm.
went on the Facebook feed, got it, and got in the car. They were like, he got picked up by a Cadillac.
Yeah.
And then did 15 minutes on the way to Channel 4.
Yeah, so he did the competing station immediately
and
after
then got out
one,
at
yeah.
Channel 4 and then came on and did the...
Yeah.
And it was like, it was kind of like a wrestling deal.
It kind of was, yeah.
Where you were like.
He walked out of Monday Night Raw and walked onto
like,
Nitro.
Oh my God, Scott Hall is here.
It was like when Lex Luger walked onto Nitro.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I could compare it
to. In 96 or whatever.
I'd never seen. Because, you know, people will switch stations, but there'll be a little downtime. And
well, I think, I mean, when you talk about that, it's rare that you see that. Radio guys used to do that. Radio guys would go, you know, from one station to another and
flip to the next station.
Although I think what we found even from radio, and at least in that while some audience goes, most people stick with the station, I think, in the long run. I think that's kind of how that works. I mean, there's certain guys that have that where they, you know, like Dick Pertin here and some guys who could do that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Jason's that guy. I think people are going to stick with Fox because that Channel 4 show is a disaster.
Well, I think Jason will.
That they're adding him to.
He'll improve that show.
Well, he should. You can't not improve.
I don't know. You're right. I don't know how much of the audience.
My farts would improve that show. Anything would improve that fucking show.
Right.
That show's a disaster.
So I don't know how much.
Live in the D on Channel 4. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, because they got Chuck Gatica.
Yes.
Who's been around for a million years.
Yeah.
And was the weatherman.
Mm-hmm.
Not really an anchor.
No.
And they're doing like a Regis and Kathy Lee format, but it's Chuck Gatica who's, you know, in his early 60s.
Yes.
And this, like, 25-year-old black girl. And they don't seem like they ever would have any reason.
They have no reason.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, they have nothing in common.
He looks like he adopted her.
Right.
You know, like, or
and,
like,
and he's you know, an old religious guy who doesn't know right. anything about popular culture. Whatever popular culture she knows about, she ain't talking about on that show. You know what I mean? She's not. It's not the fucking real. She's
no,
not gonna
she's
talk
like
about
talking
that.
About Chelly Ray and whatever. She's making references to stuff, and Chuck's then they're
yeah,
going,
and
they're
just,
sailing
it's,
over his head.
It's,
so
it's
Jason is knows what's going on. He's dialed
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they don't. They clearly the Channel 4 show clearly does not know its audience, and it's not a good show. Jason will make the show better, but the problem is, yeah. if you're Gattaca and you see Chuck walking in, mm-hmm. it's like, well, shit.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, it's like, well, fuck.
Right.
You know.
Here's a guy who's 15 right. years younger than me.
They're going to put Jason on that show for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and Gattaca is going to have to stand there like a fucking cuckold husband watching somebody bang his wife while Jason Carr lights up the Channel 4 morning
really,
show.
That's going to be really interesting on a local level.
Here's the thing. Gattaca is gone. It's just a matter of time that he's got
to
go.
Well, he'll go back to his mega church.
Yeah, that's fine. He'll go back to his church, and they'll give Jason the show,
yeah.
at least you think. They'll probably
just, I've never seen something that worked out like that where... They basically created the show to compete with the Fox 2
yeah,
morning show.
Right.
And then Fox handed them the anchor
they
of that show.
Handed them the anchor, yeah.
They were basically like, oh, nope, we're going to cut him.
Well, I guess they must feel that their brand is strong enough without him.
Yeah.
And like, hey, we'll just go and then, you know.
But you know what? That doesn't usually work.
You never know. I mean, it's
I know you're saying people stick with the station, but I've seen it a lot of times where...
There will not be any short-term gains. It's a long, it's
maybe
a long,
in the long play
yeah. on this.
Well,
and I think they can win, but they've got to, you know, well, here's the thing. Why not, if you're four now, make Jason the anchor and start that show at 9?
Right.
And get rid of that fucking last hour of the Today Show.
Go right on and compete with them?
There's so much daytime.
Wait, is that Hoda and Kathy Lee is the 9?
No. Let me tell you what
when are they on, 11?
Okay. They're on at like 10.
Oh.
Now, they're on at 11 locally, but I believe you can watch it, like, the national
okay,
feed.
Okay, so they bump it an hour.
They bump it an hour for the Gattaca show, okay?
Uh-huh.
So here's the thing. God, if anyone at home that doesn't know Detroit TV can follow this, I don't know, but here's the point. Let's talk national TV then.
Okay, we'll talk to Today Show.
We'll throw in there.
That horror
show. So the 9 o'clock hour of the Today Show was the roundtable,
mm-hmm.
where it was Willie Geist,
mm-hmm.
Tamron Hall,
mm-hmm.
Al Roker, and Natalie Morales.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure exactly who's in and out at this point, but Willie Geist was given a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Geist is now the Sunday anchor.
Oh.
So if you watch Sunday Today, they've turned it into basically CBS This Morning, but with Willie Geist instead of who's the Charles Osgood. He's almost like Charles Osgood mm-hmm. on. And so the
Sunday
Today
morning.
Show, which was, you know. The Sunday Today Show, which was a clone of the weekday Today Show, but with different people, is now Willie Geist.
We watch Sunday Morning, but as we like to call it Sesame Street for old people.
Oh, yeah.
Because the tone of how they deliver it, it's like,
yeah,
this is Kanye West.
Oh, yeah. It's
he's very famous in the hip-hop community.
Well, they make
hip-hop
it
being a music
accessible,
that
yeah.
was devolved from the rap music, which involved from funk music.
They make it accessible.
Right.
It's kind of like a Reader's Digest kind right. of thing.
This is Snapchat.
It's not, you know, if 60 Minutes is like Time Magazine,
mm-hmm.
CBS Sunday Morning is like, I don't know, The New Yorker or something, People. Is
it's
it
like,
like
it's like baby boomers, and they're like, this is Elon Musk. And they're all just going flabbergasted about, he makes an electric car?
Right. It's like it's stuff that's a little fluffier, too fluffy for 60 Minutes.
Although,
but
I will,
maybe too serious for
Mo Rocca's on that show.
Yeah, Mo Rocca's
and,
good
and actually
there.
some of the stories are interesting on.
Oh
that.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting,
and some of it's well done. But just the whole tone of it is very.
I can't get up early enough to follow that. You know,
well,
that's
sure.
the problem with me on Sundays because I work late on Saturdays. Have you seen the New Yorker television show?
Yeah, we saw a little bit of that.
How was that? It's on Amazon.
You know what? It's similar to, I mean, it's
to
all...
Say, that's what I'm saying. It's probably similar. To
they don't have a central host. They don't have a studio segment. So it's
but
just
it's
all...
But it's a magazine
it's all,
format.
Yeah, it's a magazine format. It's all taped bits, but...
All right, so back to
talk,
today.
The one I saw was the dad of the naked trucker was one of the segments. Or the naked cowboy, sorry.
Oh, the dad of the naked, okay.
The naked cowboy stands around in Times Square...
In his underwear.
In his underwear with a guitar.
Yeah.
and has been doing it for years and years and years. I mean,
2 decades of
guys been standing out there since the '90s. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, "I'm the dad of the naked cowboy."
Great.
And he's like, "If you see me, go say hi."
And where does he stand?
He lives in like Indiana. Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, he lives in like Indiana
or something.
He doesn't
stand anywhere.
Right. And he's just hanging out.
He just
out.
Went like, "Let's find the most eccentric guy's dad."
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting.
He's hanging around the diner in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
Being like, "My son's not famous." I don't know.
All right, so anyway, so back to today's show. So the Willie Geist, I think Willie Geist is off that 9 o'clock hour now.
Okay.
Because he's doing the Sunday show. Okay.
Willie Geist, son of Bill Geist.
Yeah, who was
on CBS Sunday
Who was on
morning.
CBS Sunday morning, who was sort of doing his Andy Rooney. He was sort of the alternate. He was like the Andy Rooney wannabe on there.
He's in that category with like Dave Barry.
Yeah.
Where he's a humorist.
Humorist, yes.
Where they're like, we don't actually make jokes, but we sort. They'll go to a craft fair and be like, "So this is the lady that glues lima beans together to make a portrait of Eleanor Roosevelt."
I remember Bill Geist is dead now, but I remember Bill Geist would like.
No, he's not dead.
Bill Geist isn't dead? He's like infirmed or something.
He's got a little bit of Parkinson's or something.
Yeah, but he's retired though, right?
He'll do a piece once in a while.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought
he's
Bill
a little
Geist
shaky,
was,
but yeah.
But Bill Geist was...
He's got a red hair.
He would do like wacky, like he'd order stuff from TV and like report on, like he would do like kind of wacky, like I mean this was probably young Bill Geist and not, you know, the old guy now. But I remember he would do that, and then Willie Geist is nothing like that at all.
No.
Willie Geist is like, I'm, you know, a handsome Tom Brokaw type, Brian Williams.
Well, he was on MSNBC, and he was trying to be, he was the sidekick to what's that, those assholes, Mika and Joe.
Joe Scarborough.
Yeah, he was like their sidekick.
So anyway, so the Today Show, then they had, Natalie Morales.
Uh-huh.
This is another big Today Show shakeup.
Oh, my.
Joel Radio, your source for inside inside daytime television. Natalie Morales.
Joel works at a comedy club. he is available to watch the morning shows.
I can watch the morning shows.
As am I.
She is now going to Access Hollywood, which I believe is an NBC property.
Right.
And in exchange, Billy Bush, who was the anchor of Access Hollywood... And Access Hollywood Live.
That titan of journalism, Billy Bush.
Who is, you know, like nephew of...
Is he a nephew of
He's a nephew
George
of
Bush?
W, yeah.
Which,
so he's from the Bush family.
Is he like Neil Bush's son or something?
So they've got two Bushes on there. They've got Jenna Bush.
Oh, yeah, Jenna fucking Bush is on
there. So anyway, so Billy Bush is going over to Today Show. So I don't know what happens to the 9 o'clock hour of the Today Show. But it's like they get rid of Savannah Guthrie and Lauer at 9.
You know what? I heard Chuck Gatica is going to host the 9 o'clock hour of the Today Show.
He should do it. Well, he's on it. But see, they're on at 10. So the thing about the 9 on Fox 2 is they have an hour jump on live in the D.
Right.
Which means they have to get rid of that third hour of the Today Show.
Right.
Or they have to shift that to something else.
To compete with it. Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what
they're going to do. I thought it was an interesting. I can't recall seeing. Something quite like that.
No, it is very rare that a big anchor. I mean, like Guy Gordon jumped years ago, and it was a big deal. And
well, guys,
there's anchors that jump, but it's
guys would jump, but not the same day. The way
on like the direct competing television show,
like an hour later.
Yeah, so
that was interesting.
Good for him. Good luck to Jason. I hope he does well. He's a good guy.
Good dude.
Well, Jason was a guy that, you know, when I would go to Fox, because I bring all the comics from Comedy Castle.
Jason loves
was the guy that would always, and they would always, because guys would always go, like, and I'd be driving somebody over there, and they'd go like, "Oh, I hate these fucking shows. These people are so stupid." And I go, "Well, as long as Jason interviews you, you're going to be fine. It'll be fun."
Yeah. If Jason didn't do the segment, it got rough. But
and I'm going to expose Jason for 2 seconds in this way.
Uh-oh.
But this is a compliment in the highest way. This is what Jason would do with the guys, because I'd watch before the cameras come on. He's like, "All right, so what do you want me to ask you?"
yeah.
That was it. And Jason would set these guys up to go and do a bit or whatever. And that's exactly what you're supposed to
do. But not to sing Jason's praises too much, but compared to a lot of these other anchors, he's naturally witty.
Right, yeah.
I remember we were sitting, I was waiting to do my segment, and there was a bit, it was like somebody from like the Department of Agriculture talking about emerald ash borers or like tree parasites or something. And it was like a sponsored segment, like the government had said, you know, please talk to us about how to fight trees.
It was a public safety initiative.
It was like the boll weevil. And so it was the segment died.
Yeah, right.
And Jason trying to ask the guy questions, and he was just like, well, it is important that you use the proper.
And that guy's done 50 of those that morning and said
so,
the same thing.
As the way out, Jason's like, that was brought to you by the worst segment we've ever done.
Well.
So, like, he's pretty good at, anyway. We'll see. That's interesting.
He needs to get to work on that fucking Channel 4 show. That thing's not good.
Well.
Do something.
Nothing makes my wife madder than the Today Show.
Yeah.
We end up watching, like, Charlie Rose and Oprah's Bitch.
You know, but it's funny. That's the one that everyone's doing now. As much as that was parodied as like a piece of garbage failure, now everybody's got a big round table with all the talking
heads. They're all
kind
of copying
that
format.
Which is ridiculous, but anyway,
But they do at least sort of address some kind of actual adult news on there.
They do, and it's funny that it seems like nobody's original.
No.
Everybody rips. Everyone looks around the corner and go, we got to do what they're doing.
Well, we know that.
And they got to do what we're doing, and we got to do what they're doing, and they got to do what we're doing. No one's doing what they want to do.
No.
Maybe that CBS show was doing what they want to do. I don't know.
Well, maybe that CBS show was, I think they built it around Charlie Rose, who isn't going to be all,
Man. Well, they also said, hey, you have the young leggy broads, and you have the hunky, you know, virile 50-plus guy. We're going to have, we're going to have Gail King, who no one's beaten off to Gail King. And, you know, we'll have Charlie Rose. We'll put you right to sleep. And so they're not playing the game, you know?
I'll tell you what. The general inclination of show business, and it's gotten worse and worse in the last 15 years, 10 years. They always want to put the hunky dude.
Yeah.
They always want to put a himbo.
Well, that's Billy Bush.
They want right. They want to put the guy who, and believe me, Fox too has a guy that does exercises.
Alan Longstreet.
And he's like talking to a seashell.
Yeah, you've privately told me, you know,
you just
to
wait
me about
for the fucking
guy.
Echo to come back.
He really does.
The guy's a nudnik.
But I think they have that. Here's what
he's a nice guy, but
right,
there's nothing there.
Well, he's a weatherman, but he's like, okay, how deep is the weatherman bench at Fox 2?
There's four guys.
Like, he's at the very end of it. Like, he's the bench warmer weather guy.
You know, they're just like, he's so handsome.
Right.
We should find a role for him.
But you know what it is? Here's my feeling. Is they got guys like Jason and Dina and these people, and they don't want to have to do push-ups. They don't want to have to do yoga when some guy comes
on. They don't want to put on Lycra.
Jason probably
get on the exercise
ball. Jason's probably like, hey, there's a guy sleeping in the weather center.
Right.
Why don't we wake him up, put him in a muscle shirt, have him do some push-ups, and I don't have to fucking get out of my suit coat.
Well,
and they were like, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And that's how that worked out, because normally you see you have to see the anchor,
right?
You know, kick off her high heels,
rockabilly jazz,
and it's embarrassing for them, so they're probably better off having a guy do that.
He's like the designated hitter.
Yeah, they just come in, exercise.
We got a Pilates segment.
Yeah.
Warm up Longstreet.
Yeah.
You're in there. You get in there. Get in there. Good hustle.
And then the anchors can eat all the fucking pastries they want.
Sure.
At the cooking segment.
Derek Kevra will sometimes do the, like, you know, hang gliding or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
But actually, Derek's a smart guy, a good guy.
Okay. Here you go. No insider information.
No.
Derek's going to end up the host of that show.
I got
or Jay Towers. That's the other. That's the.
If they were smart, Derek.
Derek and Jay.
Like,
yeah,
handsome
Derek,
and likable enough, and you know what? Can actually like think on his feet.
Right.
Let's not get into.
You don't want to do the Jay Towers.
Jay
Towers. By the way, Jay Towers cupped my balls and gently blew on my penis the last time I saw him. He was the nicest guy in the world.
Jay is.
He went out of his way.
This is all I will say.
To be the nicest guy. I can't shit talk Jay Towers.
I can't either.
He was the nicest guy.
And it's infuriating.
He came up to me and was so nice.
I would love to shit talk the horrible Yenta radio station he works for.
Yeah.
But Jay personally has always been nothing
but
nice.
He came up
to
me and was like, because I think it's like, I think he does some Dale Carnegie shit. Where he's like makes people like how to make people.
Oh,
like.
I know he's doing some Dale Carnegie.
Because it's like he just came up, and I've had a conversation with Jay, like twice in my life, and it was always like with another guy. So like John Heffron and Jay know each other from the radio, and I'd be talking to John, and Jay would walk up, and the three of us would start talking. But you know, Tom Arnold wasn't in the dressing room, so he came up and he just started talking to me, like I'm his old pal. And I was like, oh,
Jay Towers,
this guy's
is
a big
guy,
deal. Why is he talking to me?
I know you're being, you know, you're being worked.
Yeah,
but I think behind the being worked, Jay is actually,
I think he is a nice guy,
a nice dude. Because he'll talk to me about like movies, and he'll go, yes. Oh, you know, he's always, he'll always actually legitimately ask you because I think he wants to know.
Yeah,
you can tell when you're being completely bullshitted.
Yes,
and that happens a lot in the entertainment business.
Right,
but
he was the nicest guy. It's like, geez, I'd love for him to come in and be a dick face, and I would gladly tell all of our listeners.
We would report.
I would tell all of you at home and in your cars. What an asshole that guy was. But no, Jay's a good guy.
So. Well, this is good. I don't have to worry about working at Fox 2 anymore, so it'll be fine.
No, but he's a great... listen, you
Jay's a good guy. I have nothing bad to say about... On a personal level, nothing bad to say.
If you were going to do... you now's the time to make a move, Corey.
I know.
Now's the time. Get over there.
To get paid nothing again.
Well, yeah.
I'd be like, whenever I was like, hey, let's talk contract.
Where's Jason Carr's money? Where's that going? Give you a chunk of that.
Let me send a check.
Please, look into that.
I'm making some texts.
Look into that. You go ahead. I'll take it from here.
All right.
No, but you mean you could do that. I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
You know, the thing is, they have to. The thing is, it's when they're trying new stuff is when you know, and this is when they're clearly trying.
Yeah.
They had three broads on this morning. That's not going anywhere.
Oh God, no!
So they got it. They got
to
mix.
They
it
really
up.
Don't. They're gonna.
They
have
really
to.
Have to. They
have to put
yeah.
Kevra in there.
They got to. Yeah.
And he's not like a macho man, dude.
No.
Although Derek's a very nice guy.
Yeah, Derek seems like he's a good guy. He's smart and he's.
And
he's,
Ben Bailey, who's over at Fox, who's over at Channel yeah, 4 well, now he, too.
Yeah.
Was always cool to me.
Okay.
So everybody was nice.
Everybody at Fox has always been nice to me. I can't shit talk those people. Anytime I've run into them,
yeah,
you know,
you'd like to.
Yeah, you'd like to, but you know.
What about Cam Carmen? Did you run into?
I know, you know what? Her, I don't think I ever met.
Okay,
but you know, Amy and Dina and Jay and Jason.
There's the raspberry seed in the wisdom tree.
Look, if I ran into Push Up Boy, I might have a problem. But until then,
this is some fucking inside baseball.
Yeah, people who live, you know, like there was the guy, and I forget the guy's name, but the guy in Nevada. I want to say hi to him. He shouted us out on Facebook.
Oh,
he wanted to hear my comedy class graduation show on the podcast.
Okay.
And I told him
was he on the Facebook?
It was on Facebook. I put up a thing about the comedy class graduation and he goes, well, why don't you put this on Joel Radio? And I went like, I am not going to do that. Now, there's reasons why I will not put the comedy class graduation show on the podcast. Should I go into those now, Corey?
Well, I recall that one time you tried to have a release form. And a certain individual
gave you a bunch of grief, one asshole. But that was when I was doing the live shows from Omera's, which you can still go listen to. But you know, we had just done that benefit show, and I think he was hoping I'd do something like that. The problem with doing the class graduation show as a podcast is I'd have to get all those students to sign off on it.
Sir.
Some of those guys may not do well, which is what happened.
And when you take a comedy class, some of these people might never do comedy again.
Right. So I didn't want to put them up to the pressure, and I didn't want to... You know, to be honest with you, I don't want to bore the audience with
no, it's not
guys
like...
who aren't, you know, like I knew when, you know, you heard the clip of me on that show, on the benefit show, and the clip of Sal and Bill and those guys. You know, that was all good stuff, and they're all friends of the show.
Right.
This would be guys that would be new to the audience. It wouldn't work the same. And yeah, I did a set at that show, at the class graduation show, but it wasn't a whole lot different than the set I did. On the show that you heard,
right,
and actually probably had a better set on that night anyway.
Well,
so.
And that fundraiser show. I mean, I think Bob might have the least experience in comedy on that lineup.
Yeah, David Otis or Jeter or somebody. But,
okay,
yeah.
But they're all guys who've been.
Yeah, they're all guys who
all
work.
All professionals,
yeah,
and all pros.
Yeah, so it's a different thing. And look, I would like to do something. I've thought in the past, and I will try to cook up something for a comedy class on this podcast. I don't know how that'll work yet.
Hmm.
What I was thinking about doing was like taping one of my lectures and sort of releasing that as a podcast where I would, you know, we're interacting with students and stuff.
All right.
I mean, I don't know. It's something.
A lot of it is weird when you do those kind of classes. It's not easy to translate that into.
Well, and also I think it would be good to promote the class.
Sure.
You know, to do that. So anyway.
Well, a lot of times you're taking a guy and you're breaking down their lines,
yes,
and you're
exactly.
making them rerun the same stuff.
Yes.
So it might not be relatable as a, and those graduation shows, I know you probably had, you stacked a couple pros at the
end. Well, I had a couple guests, but I didn't have, the most veteran guy I had was Sal D'Amelio.
Okay.
He closed the show. And Sam Rager was on, who you guys know from this show.
Sure, sure.
She did a spot. And then the other people were my students. So, I mean, it was me, Sal, and Sam was experienced. You know, it was a lot of us on there.
Some of those people come out of the comedy class ready to go on some level.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's kind of like a child actor in the 40s.
Okay.
Where they're, like, barely reading their line. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Daddy, what did you bring me?
Yeah. Well, whoever asked for that to be on the show, it's not.
That's
right. I apologize.
All right, there you go.
All right, let's move on. Enough warning TV. Do you want to talk?
No, wait.
What?
What about who's Ripa going to get?
Well, we don't know anything there. The Real just fired Tamar Braxton, if you want to go into that show.
Oh, shit.
Now, look, The Real is the...
Oh, good God, Joel.
Hold on now.
How am I going to get through my day?
Let me tell you all about The Real, what's going on there. Well, I don't know what I'm doing. I think I just did Foghorn Leghorn there. I don't know.
Now, look at here. Now, that Tamar Braxton there.
No, Tamar Braxton is Tony Braxton's sister.
That's fucking terrible.
Who was, like, known from, the Braxton family reality show. And they put her on there. And Corey was always like, I hate that show. And apparently no one could like her even on that crew.
Uh-huh.
So she's out. I don't know who, if there's a replacement.
What a bunch of goddamn yentas.
But it's the same thing as The View. You get five women together and they can't get along. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The guys can sit there. You know, the SportsCenter guys can sit there they can sit there for 20 fucking years.
Oh, yeah.
And swap lines about,
Neil Everett is still there.
They'll sit there and fucking sniff each other's farts for 20 goddamn years. But you put, five women together and they can't do a show for 6 months without pulling each other's fucking fake hair out of their heads. It's ridiculous.
No. And, if you want to hear actually what's great is Eliza Schlesinger, who you had a personal encounter with recently.
Yes, she was at the Comedy Castle recently.
So, we won't go into that, but
Eliza Schlesinger is on has a story from a television show.
She had a story about The View.
On a podcast.
On WTF. Yes. If you want to hear behind the scenes on The View, go listen to that one. Actually, she dishes pretty good.
Which
sounds,
I didn't hear the story, but you told me what it was, and it sounded like a complete disarray.
Well, I have no
complete
reason.
Complete disarray and...
Eliza aside, I have no reason to doubt what she said.
No, it sounds completely consistent with...
Sounds completely believable.
The idiocy that runs The View. But yeah, why is that? They get women together, they can't seem to keep it...
Well, okay, and then...
They can't seem to hold it
but
together.
But then they're always like, well, if women ran the world... And they always act like that shit would
fly. That would work, yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I know.
Like, women wouldn't fight.
I know, yeah.
You know what happened? We just wouldn't talk to Russia again. And, nothing would happen.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
all commerce, all shit, you know what I mean? We just act like Russia wasn't there.
The prime minister would wear a dress similar to the one that our president wore.
Right.
And then we would not talk.
Right. Like,
the Cold War would be
on. A meteorite could hit Moscow, and they'd be like, we need help. Yeah. Send help.
No.
Like, nope.
No.
They wouldn't even, look in their direction.
Okay, you want to tell me that I get bangs, and then that fucking bitch over there gets bangs? Fuck you. I'm not talking to that bitch.
You tell France.
Yes.
Okay, Spain, tell France that bitch thinks she's pretty. Like, women would honestly, obviously I believe that when you have women involved in all levels of government and business, that you have a progressive society and the society's probably stronger. Because when you don't have women involved, you get, caveman fucking religious bullshit.
Sure, you can get that, sure.
But don't tell me that women would just... This is the big fallacy behind everything. It's always like, well, if this guy gets in, it's all going to be different.
Yeah.
And if this, if Hillary gets in, well, yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
but really. Don't act like women are going to
run. Well, women, you can't just say if women ran this would be better.
No.
It would be different. I'll give you that. It ain't necessarily better.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm not saying if men did women things that it would be better.
Mm-hmm. But you've seen women different. You've seen women be meaner to each other. Then guys will go, you and I fight periodically, as we did last week.
We fought on the show last week.
And if John's
I believe I fired you on the show last
week. That's right.
Why are you here?
I don't know.
I don't know what happened.
My check
bounced. Let me tell you something. That's how bad business is. Uh-huh. I can't even fire you. It's ridiculous.
I know. But if John was here, we'd fight every week. But look, but what happens is Joel and I fight, and then like a day or two later, I go, "So yeah, did you see the game?
Yeah,
well, you know? yeah,
or whatever." That's how men. You know what I mean? Men will fight, but I rarely see guys like feud in the way women do.
It doesn't. Yeah, women will simmer.
Oh, okay, there are some guys you just go, I'm not talking to that fucker.
Yeah, fuck
again.
That guy. Never again.
Once in a while, you'll just cut him out. But like women will actually have frenemies, and they'll keep tracks on people that they hate. For years and years.
Well, women,
and years.
And it gets worse over time because it gets more.
Yeah.
You know, the information that you get on the other one gets further and further removed from firsthand experience, and then it all becomes.
I have had frenemies, and you and I have kind of shared some of the same frenemies.
Yeah, okay.
Guys that we professionally knew and didn't care for.
Yeah.
And you know what happened? I stopped paying attention to them, and it's they're
it's
dead.
Just they're dead to me.
It's like they don't exist.
Yeah, women don't. That concept is
no. Women will remain. They'll remain in hate forever.
Well, you do that when you break up with a girl too. It's always at least from my end, where it's like, well, you're dead to me now, and women are like, what do you mean? You're dead. What? You're not.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. You're it's,
I think I'm more of a.
I don't need to speak to you.
I'm more of a friend retainer.
Okay.
Than you. You got a couple. That
but
you,
yeah, I mean, it just depends on the person.
You
but
got
yeah,
a couple
but
you keep in the Rolodex.
But even if it was, but that hasn't always been the case. Some of those women.
I know
were
there's
dead
at
to
least
too.
One long term girlfriend I know that you never talk to anymore.
Yeah.
It just went away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's more than one.
Right. But I'm thinking of one specifically that you hated for a long time. Me, I'm more like I'm friendly with every girl, you know.
Yeah.
Except for one or two randos. But, you know.
A couple randos.
You know.
I wouldn't even know how to get a hold of her.
So Tamar Braxton.
Tamar Braxton is
is Tony Braxton's sister.
Sister, yes.
And Willie Geist is Bill Geist's son.
Yes.
And Billy Bush is the nephew
of George
Claude Hopper Bush or whatever the fucking Poppy Bush.
Yeah.
Somebody in the Bush family. Mm-hmm. And Jenna Bush. So you can get into show business if you're related to somebody.
That's the best way.
Are you
way.
Familiar with the name Beanie Feldstein?
No. Who do we see?
Beanie Feldstein. I'm going to show you a picture of Beanie Feldstein.
Beanie Feldstein must have a great rack.
You tell me who Beanie Feldstein is related.
Oh, look at that. Hold on a second. Okay, it's a pretty girl that's just pretty. She's not like extraordinarily the most beautiful.
This is maybe the best picture.
But that's a great good-looking girl. By any definition.
I'll show you another one that you'll
Beanie
you'll,
Feldstein.
You'll be a little less thrilled with.
So she's related to a Feldstein?
She's the sibling of a famous person.
All right,
this one is a little more open mic-y.
Well, that looks less professional of a shot. That looks like a selfie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Beanie Feldstein is.
Beanie Feldstein is in a new movie, and she was on Conan last night.
Okay, Beanie Feldstein.
And she's in the movie, what is it, Neighbors 2.
Neighbors 2.
Beanie Feldstein.
Yes.
And then when I realized who Beanie Feldstein was related to, it disturbed me. Because it's a female version of Jonah Hill.
Oh, okay.
It's Jonah Hill's sister. Is now.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Now Jonah Hill's sister.
Is Jonah Feldstein?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't realize
apparently,
Jonah Feldstein.
She did not need to de-Jew her name.
Okay, so just,
she did not need to un-Hebrify her name. She
well, I was going to say she looked a little Jewy, but I thought that would be wrong.
Well, with a name like Beanie, with a name Beanie Feldstein, which, by the way, you thought it was a guy.
Didn't
it sound like a guy that ran numbers in Brooklyn
Beanie
in the 30s?
Well, yeah, something like
you know?
That.
Beanie Feldstein. Hey, stop by the delicatessen. Beanie Feldstein's got a
Beanie
slip
Feldstein
for you.
Or,
anyway, so Beanie Feldstein is Jonah Hill's sister.
Okay.
She's now getting into movies.
Well, that's...
I think she's trying to do a kind of a nebbishy Rebel Wilson act
okay,
or something.
Okay, well,
but...
that's good for her. There's room for everybody.
Now, if Beanie Feldstein walked into an open mic 10 years ago...
Oh, yeah, Beanie Feldstein.
We'd be flipping a coin.
Sure. Well,
maybe,
Beanie Feldstein's cute. I don't know.
There would have been
How old is Beanie Feldstein?
She's younger than Jonah Hill.
Well, that's... Jonah Hill might be 40-something now, right, though?
Yeah, I don't know exactly how old. They don't list her age.
Yeah. All right.
But there you go. She's younger. I think
Jonah Hill's
25 sister. Or something.
He's in the movies.
There you go. But see, that's a show business. It's a... Why, if there was a famous Fragamenti.
There is a famous Fragamenti.
I'm just saying, why couldn't you, if You know, Angelo Fragomeni.
Jacoby Fragomeni fought for the, I believe, the light heavyweight boxing championship.
Yeah.
Against David Haye. He got beat.
I mean, but that didn't help you.
No, it didn't help me. And I don't know Jacoby.
If Angelo Fragomeni had owned the improv in the 70s, you would have a hell of a career. I mean, you know, I'm just saying it's...
Vincenzo Fragomeni owned a window washing company.
No, well,
I don't know if that helps any. I don't know. It hasn't helped me any, but you know, I think I think get my windows clean if that helps.
And Luciano Fragomeni used to cut salami over at the meat counter. But look, my family were all fucking like coal mining hillbilly idiots.
Okay,
I don't. There's nobody with any. You know,
there's no. There's no. Yeah, my family doesn't have that at all. You know. I don't think anyone has even followed in the family,
like my
tradition.
My grandfathers,
yeah,
both came up here to get jobs. Mm-hmm. Actually, my mom's dad is from Imlay City.
Okay,
that metropolis.
I was there today.
Yeah. Brown City.
I went
City.
To Imlay yeah. today.
That metropolis on the prairie. Yeah, they were like farm people, and then he came down here and got a job at Ford. My grandpa Ralph got a job at GM.
Well, that's kind of most people in Detroit,
right?
At some point, end up in the auto industry. Although I may be the one family that doesn't have that.
They were like the most successful people in their families at the time they came to get factory jobs in the 40s. So
well,
I'm just saying
those were good jobs.
I know, but I'm just saying I got no wealth in my
grandfather, my mom's father.
Yeah.
Was a Pennsylvania coal miner.
There you go.
Who got black lung and had to quit.
Right.
So he came to Detroit and got a job servicing city buses.
There you go.
I mean, that was his job.
Yeah.
And then my grandfather on my dad's side was, I've talked about him on the show before, but you know, he was the guy who was the farmer in Italy, in Calabria.
Right.
And he used to put my dad on a donkey. I've told that story on the show. And he moved to America. He actually moved to America and left. He actually like moved to America before the rest of his family so he could save up money to send for him.
Right.
And he actually sent for him, which is amazing. In today's world, you go,
well, that's
a guy leaves his family. He ain't coming back. But no, he actually sent for him.
Well, I read that book on Dean Martin.
Okay. And that's
and like one brother came over.
Yeah.
Like from Calabria.
Mm-hmm.
And
sent
and
for the other one.
Ended up in Steubenville, Ohio, because they had steel mills.
What was Dean's name?
Crocetti.
Crocetti, okay. So my grandfather, he got a job. I don't know what he did originally, but he ended up, his career in America, is he was a cook at the Detroit Athletic Club.
There you go.
So that's my show business lineage. Yeah. A school bus repairman.
Yeah.
And a fucking cook.
I've had
no help.
Hey, no, none at all. None.
No.
No, and you know,
I think I am. I think if you Google, I might be the most. I think I am the most famous Fragomeni in the world.
And you,
I mean, I not to brag, not to sit here on my on my throne of gold and diamonds.
My name is
and
too,
tell you,
my name's too generic.
No, you
to tell
there's no. Yeah, you can't have a
with quarry. Hall. There's just too many Halls. Yeah. But
you're not even the most famous Corey Hall.
No, there's like an NFL player.
There's an NFL player in Corey Hall.
Although but. I get. If you put movies, you get you get a good.
Well, your Rotten Tomatoes profile should be pretty high profile, and this show has been around forever.
That's true.
Probably this show gets
if,
a lot
if
of
I well, didn't you have a guy in your class named Dave Landau with a W?
With a W, yes.
Yeah,
I got him to change. That was my proudest achievement in the last comedy class. Mm. Was I got David Landau with a W to change his name?
Yeah.
To a stage name.
And it is what.
David L. Marx.
Okay.
M-A-R-X, like Groucho.
Well, David Marx was one of the original Beach Boys.
Oh, see, I knew there was... I told him, I asked him, I go, isn't David... Well, he's David L. Well, his name is David Mark Landau.
Okay.
So I rechristened him David L. Marx.
Right, because you can't... Because
and he's
our friend Dave Landau is...
But David Marx was a K-S, right? At the end, M-A-R-K-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, not X. Not okay. My Marx is X.
Oh, Marx like
Groucho. Yeah, like Groucho. Right.
Like Harpo and Chico.
Like Groucho.
And Gummo.
Because really what happens now is the kids today that want to go to a comedy club, if they think they're seeing a descendant of the great Marx family,
he should
they're going to sell
make
a lot
his
of
name,
tickets.
He should be Gummo Landau.
If I wanted to sell tickets to the kids today, I should have named him David L. Cook or something,
you
know, like Dane
or,
you know. You know what I should have named him? Was
Sheeran.
I should have named him David the Cable Guy.
Oh, Jesus. But like, and this guy's what, in his 50s?
Oh, no, David's 67.
Oh,
or
67.
Yeah, he's
and he told you, well, I had the name
he
first.
He goes, I was here first. Right, I was the original right. David Landau.
Except, you know, our friend Dave Landau, the comedian, yes. has had national TV credits.
I know. He's been on television 57 times. And David Landau. No, but David, I made him David L. Marks, and believe me, it was... It was,
and that was the last time he ever did comedy, right?
I don't know. David's a great guy. He was a nice student, very good, insightful guy.
But sometimes, you know, sometimes older guys will come and take a comedy class,
yeah,
and then that's it.
Well, he's retired. Something. He's doing things he always wanted to do but never could when he was having to work.
Or sometimes there'll be a young girl. They'll come take the comedy class, sign the wall, and achieve victory.
Oh,
there you
I
go.
Guess so
heyo.
All right, let's move on. What's next? Okay. Well, I think the news of the day, it's funny, the news of the day. We've done 45 minutes and haven't touched the agenda yet.
Well, no, the morning shows were on the agenda.
Not the one I'm looking at, but here's the deal.
Okay.
We now know who America's greatest comedian is. We didn't know. We didn't know until about 3 days ago. But now we know.
Beanie Feldstein.
It's not Beanie Feldstein.
No?
We now know that America's most popular comedian. Is the lady that put on a Chewbacca mask.
Oh, that bitch.
That lady is the biggest star in the history. Now, look, here's what I'm going to say, because I'm going to do this, and I've done this in the past on the show. Look, I keep a running document of who the asshole of the year should be by the end of the year. And normally, this woman would rocket to the top of the chart.
Yeah.
But at this point, I actually think that her video was kind of funny. Yeah. I can't sit there and say, like, you know, it wasn't fun to watch, you know, a big fat lady laughing at Chewbacca mask. It was fine. And when I say big fat lady, I mean a girl that would be exactly the size of woman who would let me fuck her. That's when I say that. So don't think that I'm insulted. Is that an insult?
She makes Beanie.
I think that's a compliment.
She makes Beanie Feldstein look svelte. So Beanie Feldstein.
First of all,
Beanie Feldstein looks svelte compared to her. Is what I'm saying.
Let's address her properly as Candace Payne. That's her real name.
Candace Payne.
Candace Payne from Texas.
From House of Payne.
Candace Payne. Bring the pain. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Candace Payne, her Facebook video has been viewed 141 million times.
Suck
Corey.
My butt.
141 million times. So now here's the thing about this.
Think about it this way. In the 12 years this show's been running, under two different titles, we're under, what are we up to, 600 episodes, 700?
We're at about, we're a little over 400, I think, right now.
Is that including the original 250 or
yes,
so?
Yes, it's 250 oh, okay. plus 160 or something, it's 410 or something.
Our total downloads are only 14 million less.
Well, no, what she's got 141 million.
Sorry, we're only 141 million less than that.
We're probably at 141,000 or something. I don't
oh
know how many.
Oh, my God. How many?
I mean, but it's insanity. How many people have watched the video? Yeah. Now, look, I don't bemoan her. I don't do that. But here's the thing. The problem
it's
I have...
It's not like her fault. No,
it's fine.
And this is completely what they talk about with viral.
Yes.
I don't know how this woman got prominent.
One of these reports that I have a million tabs open about this woman. One of them, they say her video went truly viral, meaning it ended like people literally passed it from person to person. Whereas now when they say stuff goes viral... What really means is that somebody writes an article about it. It ends up on BuzzFeed, and then BuzzFeed generates all the traffic.
Sure.
But they claim that this Facebook lady was actually true, organic sharing
completely
of it.
Completely viral.
Yeah, completely viral.
Once in a while, that'll happen with like a cat video or a baby hippo or something.
So it was truly viral. And she, but here's the thing with her. And this is why I hate America. And I'm actually surprised it's been less of what it is, but the feeding frenzy of the American media on this woman, that's what really is the disturbing part about this for me, and I think for you too, and I think for anybody in show business. I heard a friend of a friend who was an actor that says, if she gets a series, I quit. That was a wannabe actor, I'm quoting, a wannabe actor third hand saying,
sure.
If this woman gets a series, I quit. And actually, the only media that I've seen her do... Well, first of all, a couple things. Well, first of all, Corey and I immediately called Corey.
I wish we had taped this.
Yeah, I called Corey and I go, Corey, I got a great gig. You're going to be so jealous of my gig.
Yeah.
And you're like, what's your gig? And I go, I'm opening for the Chewbacca mask lady on a nationwide tour.
Uh-huh.
Because people love this woman so much.
Yeah.
She probably could have sold tickets. to a show and said, I'm going to be appearing. And people, but anyway, so she's, the media that I've seen is that, okay, so I said to you, and then as we're talking, we're like, well, every show is going to put her on.
Yeah.
I said, how much money is Ellen DeGeneres going to give this woman?
I believe you said Ellen's got a big purple swollen clit.
I did say that, yes. That's
thinking
how,
about
that's
how
I phrase,
to
yes.
exploit this woman.
Because Ellen really, that is Ellen's thing. Ellen will cannot find a cute kid video or
right,
something
right, right.
without bringing them on and giving them a giant oversized novelty mm-hmm. check for $10,000. That's her MO. That's what she does. That's mm-hmm. who fucking watches that show. This lady I haven't seen on Ellen yet. Now, it might be that Ellen has gone already gone into summer reruns. And that might
Ellen
be
is
the case.
Right now in her war room. Ellen and Portia were in the Maldives, and then they were like they had to get out of St. Kitts and
right.
come back to fucking
yes.
you know get into the command
oh.
center.
Okay, let me tell you
they're
about
in
Ellen.
There with they're in there with Buck Turgid.
I wish.
And they're planning. They got a big map of how to make.
I said this is how crazy Ellen makes me. I go I'm gonna nail Ellen to the wall on the show. I had this all planned out. I go. Ellen DeGeneres is selling schmatas on QVC. Yeah. This is my plan. I had this whole planned out. You're going to love this. I never told you this. So the Ellen DeGeneres
schmatas.
Line of, yeah. I believe it's housewares, actually. I don't even think it's schmatas. I think it's like, so it's tchotchkes, okay?
Sure.
Ellen DeGeneres home collection on QVC. And I go, God damn it, I'm going to get this Ellen selling her garbage on TV, like Chef Tony selling a fucking set of knives.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finally going to have this on the show and show everybody what a fucking whore this fucking Ellen is.
Yeah.
And here's what I go. So I taped the goddamn Ellen. I taped the QVC appearance by Ellen DeGeneres, Corey.
Did you?
And you know what happens? This is why Ellen is great, though, in her own way. I have to give her credit. Ellen ain't even fucking there.
No.
There's a whole, there's some footmen of Ellen that's
there's
on there.
There's some Yentas.
Yeah, there's some Yenta that's Ellen's buddy that's Ellen. And there's like a 30-second B-roll of Ellen going, I hope you enjoy my collection.
It's
fabulous home here.
Kathy Ladman.
Yeah.
Is out there selling.
It's like some fucking, you know, knockoff Ellen flunky that she hired to go on and sell her fucking vases and her rugs and all this shit. And all Ellen does is get a check. Yeah. It's kind of brilliant.
Leslie Ann Thompson is
well,
on
it's,
there
it's,
selling.
It's, you know, it's like, that's no Joy Mangano, that fucking Ellen. She's, you know, she's,
no,
yeah.
Give Joy credit. She
yeah.
sold her own shit.
Exactly. But, you know, Ellen just goes, I'm going to fucking throw some broad on. And they're still buying
and Joan
that shit.
Rivers, God rest her
yeah,
soul.
Yeah, Joan Rivers had no problem with
that.
Was
out there shilling
right.
for her own product.
That might be the best scene in that movie, too, in the Joy movie.
With
Melissa dressed
Joan.
Up as Joan. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, Han Solo dies and Melissa Rivers dresses
How
up as Jaws.
How dare you?
I'm ruining all the big blockbusters, Corey.
Did you know that they blow up the shark at the end of Jaws?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right.
It's hard to believe. Batman
It
is
hard to believe because if you shoot a compressed air tank with a 30-06 from
it doesn't explode.
400 yards, it won't explode that way.
Mythbusters did that.
It'll yes. shoot out the back.
Yes. And what else? I don't know. Okay. All right. So anyway, Joy. So anyway, so I tried to get the goods on Ellen that way. I couldn't even. Mm-hmm. She's that bulletproof. She just goes, I'm going to have shit on QVC, but not actually sell it. And they probably said to her, well, you know, Ellen, if you go on and sell it, you'll sell twice as much. And Ellen goes, ah, fuck you. I don't need to fucking, you know.
No, because
yeah.
Ellen will sell the merch and have the product.
Exactly, yeah.
But if she did it herself,
yeah.
it would be selling
right.
out her
yeah.
brand a little
exactly,
bit.
Exactly, yes.
And she doesn't want to look like a transparent.
Yeah.
She wants to be a gigantic
mm-hmm.
dildo craving. Like she wants to like she wants to go to the fucking sex shop
well.
And get the novelty sized Great American Challenge red, white, and blue 14 incher and let Portia ram her with it as a strap on.
I want to say,
but she doesn't want you to know that
well,
that's what she'll do.
I want to say this, although this is an oxymoron. I think she wants to be gay Oprah.
That is redundant.
And it's yeah, I'm going like, wait a minute. She wants to be a brand. She wants to be a lifestyle. She wants to be Martha
Stewart. It would
almost,
be like,
to be
like if Liberace was like, that's too candid. You know what? I'm not going to ride out on a stallion.
Right, yeah. It's
because it's too much glitz.
Right, yeah. It's kind of like, yeah, it's like, I you know.
Meanwhile, Oprah has got Montel in a chain, in a dog collar.
Please. Are you kidding me?
Walking him around like Michonne zombies from Walking Dead.
Gail King is painting Oprah's toenails right now. That's exact. She gets off of that CBS morning show, and she immediately goes to Oprah's box and begins licking. It's amazing.
Yeah, you mean
there's no
Oprah Winfrey, queen of the Yentas and the Housewives and the Andals.
Well, Ellen,
first
Ellen,
of her name,
but Ellen is clearly, you know, branding herself.
The unburned.
Where Ellen could be, but see, that's the thing without Ellen. She could be like a comedian and try to be a comedian. But instead, she's trying to be like a. I know.
Why?
I know.
Why?
Do you, why start now?
Why? Why? Why waste your time with that bullshit? Why? Why? So she could go to that alley in K-Pac.
Well,
that
exactly.
I play once
and good
a year?
For good for her. And good for her to go. Hey, I'm not going to be some fucking bad Vegas comic. I'm going to be a lifestyle for women who, you know, have seen enough dick.
But see. We hate these people because you and I looked at comedy as a thing unto itself.
Yes.
And the reason I started doing stand-up comedy is that the comics that I admired and liked and watched their careers, they might do a movie or TV show or sitcom, but were always known as a comic.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but Ellen has She is...
The comics that I admire. Okay, George Carlin would do in a movie or two now and then. But you always knew George Carlin was a comedian.
But the difference is, no one's watching that Ellen show. Go give Ellen a special somewhere. No one cares.
People are watching.
No one's watching that Ellen special. Has Ellen done a comedy
special?
Oh,
you mean a stand-up special?
Yeah, but I'm saying if you can't, that's what I'm saying. You can't give Ellen a television special and go.
I will give Ellen credit for this. She went on Stern.
Okay.
And they talked about when she was on American Idol and why she sucked.
Yes.
And she was like, I admit that I sucked.
Yeah.
And she said, I didn't want to be mean to the kids.
Of course.
And she didn't want to be mean to the kids because that would expose her as having real feelings.
It would destroy her brand, yeah.
Her brand is innocuous bullshit.
This is Ellen's brand.
My mother-in-law is very Ellen-like in that she will never say a bad... Here's what she'll say. She'll order a dish and she'll go, I don't know if I would get that again.
Okay.
I will go... This tastes like monkey butt, right? I'm completely candid, but my mother-in-law is a very nice lady who will just go out of her way to shine a little light on it. And that's what Ellen's brand is. Ellen is cynical and calculated and a fucking vicious.
Well, Ellen's brand is, I hate penis and I want to wear comfortable shoes. And when you're a woman of a certain age, that starts to sound real good.
Yeah.
I want to cut my hair short.
Well,
that's what I want to do.
Ellen has downplayed her lesbianism as a political,
but it's like
activity in she did when she came out. When she came out, she was a big hero that was paving the way.
But Ellen's thing is like,
yes, all lesbians. Now she doesn't act like she's married to Portia.
But Ellen is like transgendered. Like Ellen's like,
she's not.
I can't
neutral.
Even. Yeah, like I can't even. If this would appeal to a man in any way, I'm not going to do it. Like, it's a political statement on her part. It's not like,
she just knows her audience.
No, but it's.
And again, also, Ellen wants you to, she's almost gender neutral. I mean, she's like,
but when Ellen
vests and
can't walk a red carpet and dress like a lady, though.
No. But she's a lesbian. But Ellen doesn't want you to think of her as a sexual
object for
Margaret
men or something.
Cho, you can picture eating pussy.
Right.
Ellen, that's the last thing she ever wants you to do is imagine her licking box.
Yeah.
Which she couldn't lick more box if she wanted. But she,
I completely disagree.
Ellen did the one she
you
did.
You think Ellen's Ellen
she
I
She did do the one like was it HBO or Showtime did These Walls Could Talk?
Oh, it was about
It was like lesbian stories.
Okay, lesbian stories.
And it was kind of good because there were a lot of chicks naked on it.
Okay.
But it's a big Mr. Skin favorite.
I have some lesbian stories.
But Ellen did one thing where she was like in a gay relationship with somebody in a movie.
There were two girls in the trailer backstage at the Gathering of the Drug Lords. Let me tell you a lesbian story. But you go on. No, tell us about Ellen.
But, do we make Ellen asshole of the millennium? Because she might as well be. Okay. Who do I hate more, James Corden or Ellen? I'm going to have to think about it.
Well, so back...
Which dickless faggot
are we
do
back
I hate
to the, okay.
more?
So one of the things about the Chewbacca mask lady, boy, we digressed onto Ellen big time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. So Ellen apparently has not had her on. You go and I go, she's going to clearly be leading a Disney parade at one of the parks.
Sure.
That could still happen.
Sure.
That was another one of my predictions. Because I said they're going to exploit her like the fucking the homeless guy with a golden voice. That was what I thought was going to be the blueprint here of her. And you said something about like James Corden.
I said,
Ron. And I go,
I said, she'll be lip syncing with James Corden
in
that fucking car.
And
I nailed it 100%.
Well, he didn't exactly do that. But
no, but she's in the car with James Corden.
She's in the car with James Corden.
And this is
James Corden. The James Corden's bit, though, is that he was secretly in the car while she was doing that.
Oh, that's
the bit. Yeah,
that's the bit. I couldn't. You know what? I looked at the clip,
and you still didn't make enough sense.
And
to
I couldn't discern the comedy writing.
The bit was
okay. I know that I've belabored.
Camera pans over, and James Corden sitting in the front seat with her.
Yes,
but you know what they did? They just recreated her video.
I know I've belabored my hatred for James Corden
and J.J. Abrams
from the second. But and I just wanted to, by the way.
Yeah,
I want. I won't get anything for this. I won't make one more dollar in show business, but I just want the record. This podcast serves as an audio record.
No.
From the nanosecond that cocksuckers took the airwaves in America, I said no.
No, yeah,
I would not have
it. But this is why you're wrong, though. This is why you're wrong.
I won't
have
it.
You said no, and you said I don't like him, and that's fine, and you don't have to like him. My analysis of James Corden was like, this guy is going to get hot, and people will like this, and this will blow up, and
you were right on that.
He will do a good show. And no one was saying that at the time, and I said, I watched his show and said, this is a better show, and for its own reasons, we'll catch on. There's something about this that will catch on, and it's not stuff that you will like, but it is stuff that will catch on, and it was sort of taking what Jimmy Fallon did, and you can't underestimate the influence of what Jimmy Fallon did on the show, but I think he does it better. I think he makes it more fun. I think his bits, while
this to me,
no,
this to me is worse than the cheese pizza.
Okay,
that you
no,
would
no,
like, that
no.
you would like James Corden.
I don't like James Corden in a sense, but well, here's my point: is that his show actually achieves what Jimmy Fallon wants his show to achieve. Jimmy Fallon fails. When Jimmy Fallon tries to, you know, let's play cornhole with Tom Cruise or whatever fucking bit he's going to do, or, you know, let's play beer pong with Chelsea Handler or whatever stupid shit he does.
Right.
I go, well, that's not good. That's bad television.
So, you know, I'm scrolling through the descriptions. And, you know, I will go to these. We talk a lot about the late night shows, but I don't watch any of them. Maybe Conan. I'll watch the whole thing.
Okay.
But, like,
sure.
I won't generally watch any of Colbert. I'll watch a couple minutes of Kimmel. I might watch a couple minutes of, and I'll just click and see who they have.
Sure. Well, that's how I saw Dinky Juman on there. That's why
Dinky
Juman.
Into, that's right.
Whatever.
Well,
name
she
is.
Was on Conan.
Yeah, she was on Conan.
Dinky Juman. Yes.
How much did I miss that by?
Hebe Feldman.
What is her name? Seriously.
Beanie Feldstein.
Beanie Feldstein. Yeah, Dinky Juman.
Dinky Juman.
It's not that far off.
Bagel McSchnoz.
Yeah, I don't know.
Look, anyway, no, you're right. So, you know, I'll just look and see who's on. Like, I think everybody does.
Yeah.
They'll go, what guests are on and blah, blah, blah. And I saw that Fallon had Anthony Bourdain, who I like. I watch his show.
Jimmy Fallon has Bourdain. Okay.
He had Bourdain. And I go, okay, well, Tony Bourdain's usually an interesting interview.
Okay.
And he had Mario Batali. I said, oh, well, maybe he'll have these two guys talking about whatever they want, you know. No, he's got them on there fucking riding tricycles and shooting salami.
Oh, they actually did a segment together,
though? Yeah, they were
together,
doing
though?
Some fucking, you know what I mean? And I'm like, they're on there doing some goof cooking bit.
Yeah,
and I just went, and they weren't even cooking. They weren't even like,
Yeah,
it was like, try this Oreo smashed with tuna fish or some bullshit. And I just went, you fucking hack, Fallon.
Well, if you're those guys, why would you even want to cook at this point?
But I mean,
Bourdain, as far as I know from his career, Bourdain wasn't a famous cook. Bourdain was a guy who exposed the restaurant industry, right?
He was a chef, but never a famous.
But he became like a columnist or something, right? He wrote a book.
Yes,
he wrote Kitchen Confidential.
He wrote Kitchen Confidential. Yes,
and then he became a chef at a
respected restaurant, but he wasn't like ever.
But he was never like a guy that was on.
He wasn't like
know,
Bobby Flay, where he was the brain.
Sure, yeah. He wasn't Paul Prudhomme.
No, he became famous
as Julia Child or something.
Right. No, he's
going old school.
You are going old school.
I'm going old school.
Jacques Pepin. he's not the Galloping Gourmet. But no, he got famous as a travel writer.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
More than, yeah. But he was a chef for 20 years or something. So there you go. Anyway, Fallon fucked even that. What you could do is just Tony Bourdain has been everywhere in the world and met all these people.
Yeah.
He could just entertain you with a segment, right?
Yeah.
And I would have been interested to hear what he had to say.
Not on that show.
Instead, it's this bullshit. And it's just like...
No, Jimmy is so annoying. And he just goes... Like, he always goes to the celebrity. All right, so we're going to play a game after this. Are you ready? You want to play a game? And it's like, boy, that's a signal to me to just turn off the fucking channel. Just turn the fucking channel.
Because the asshole can't find... Okay, these are talk shows.
Yeah.
All right? And the point of the talk show is to interview someone and have something interesting to say.
Right.
Now, a lot of times it's some BIM from CSI or whatever dumb show.
Yeah.
It's BIM of the week.
Yeah.
And you can't do much with them. Unless you're Craig Ferguson, and then you flirt with him and make that interesting. But he's got, like, Julia Roberts on there.
Yeah.
And they love Jimmy Fallon because Julia Roberts doesn't actually want to do an interview.
I guess not.
She wants to bounce a beach ball off her nose like she's a fucking seal. And that's what
well,
she goes
it's,
on
it's funny that, you know, you get these people, and you almost went where I was trying to go with this, but, you know, they're some of the most, like, in a case like a Bourdain, they're rock on tours. They're guys who tell great stories.
Yeah.
And you have them on a show... And you have them playing fucking Pictionary, which any fucking dummy can do in their living room, and it's not fun when they do it on a Saturday night. So why do we want to watch, you know, why do you want to take people who are so talented in the art of communication and entertainment?
It's because Jimmy
can't
get anything out of
him. Jimmy can't do anything with him.
Johnny Carson would just sit there and let the guy, that's why he'd have Orson Bean on and he'd tell stories, or he'd have Orson Welles, or all the Orsons.
Shelley Winters.
Or and he would just...
George Siegel.
Yeah, and he now Johnny would have the same bimbos that weren't interesting.
Well, sure,
but Johnny would milk something out of him.
Yeah, Angie Dickinson and some of these
Angie Dickinson
and
was always in his lap, and she loved him. And
sure.
Anyway, we're such old men. We're such farty old
men. But the thing was that you have to know...
The best part of Johnny's show was the interview.
Yes, and that's the thing about what Jimmy Fallon, like, somehow he believes...
Some people
there's
say
a
the
fallacy
monologue.
In America that in order to humanize these celebrities... You know, we make them shoot hoops or something like that. Somehow is like, and I'm like, who fucking wants to do that?
To a certain degree, his strategy is very clever, because let's be honest, a lot of these celebrities are bimbo, dummy, himbo idiots. I know.
Yeah.
I interviewed them.
Sure.
For 15 years.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people aren't that interesting. So he said, we'll just do a fucking three-legged race and we'll do a maze.
Yeah.
And we'll call, you know what I mean? We'll just do parlor tricks, and that'll get me on television, and I'll get...
It's a brilliant
strategy. What I hate is the people who like it.
Well, I think there's a fatigue, and I think we're starting to see this, where, like, it's not special to see these people, you know, play cornhole on Jimmy Fallon. He's doing it every fucking night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird, like, oh, my God, I can't believe that he would get, you know, Morgan Freeman to, you know, to balance a pencil on his nose. That's so amazing, but it's like, you're doing it every fucking night. It's boring. It's old. It's over. You know, it's just, it's not, you know, it's not entertaining. And I know he's trying to do, like, the game show and stuff, but that's not even, he doesn't even do that
well. No, but he does this, this is the core of Jimmy Fallon's comedy, and that article somebody posted for us, I'll look up his name. This is exactly it. Jimmy Fallon's entire premise is, remember this thing?
Yeah. Kind of.
Like, when the fucking Saved by the Bell guys come out there and they go, remember Saved by the Bell? Yeah, I do. It sucked.
Yeah.
The show was terrible.
Well, you know, nostalgia is... Well, I think we did a whole show on this.
Yeah.
Nostalgia is not comedy.
No.
Nostalgia can make you feel good, and comedy can make you feel good, so you can confuse the feelings you're having for that of comedy or being entertained, but it's different. It's not the same thing. And that's my thing, is I'm not nostalgic for Full House or Saved by the Bell. I never want to see the original ones. I never want to see the reboots. I never want to see the reunions. I don't care about that.
No.
Would I be nostalgic to see, you know, I mean, I've seen, you know, Family Ties reunited on the Today Show. And, like, I guess that's interesting for a minute, but it's not, like, something that makes me, like, I'm not entertained by that.
Well, I'm always, you know what I'm entertained by is, like, gossip or dirt or, like,
Sure, yeah, okay. Somebody,
you know, if they have like Henry Winkler on, you go, was Potsy, did he ever fart while you were doing a take or whatever?
Yeah, okay.
I think that stuff is typical.
Yeah.
That's part of just show business.
But you can't just put the old actors into the old uniforms and try to redo it. It's just not, you know, it's sort of like...
if they did that on a sitcom, which they do,
it's
on, you know, like Big Bang Theory or something, and they'll go, look at this guy.
Yeah.
Actually, in Big Bang Theory's defense, they'll like do something with them.
But they used to do this in the 60s and 70s on some of these talk shows. They tried out Groucho or Mo Howard or somebody, and Mo would still have the fucking Mo haircut, and it was like just this stupid old man. You know, it just wasn't funny. It wasn't good. It wasn't entertaining, and it's kind of the same thing. And yeah, Mo Howard was great in The Stooges.
I think like Dick Cavett was actually interested in
those guys, but it was, you know, they would occasionally, you don't see so much of this because they would bury it, but you know, they would have Groucho try to be funny on shows. Peter Marshall. Peter Marshall was talking about Groucho on the Hollywood Squares.
Oh, by the way,
and Groucho was
terrible. Peter Marshall's like 90 years old and he sounded fresh and he remembered everything.
But he said, you know, Groucho was on Hollywood Squares and Groucho said, I don't get this show. I don't get it. I'm not. It
well, that was
work
good.
For me.
Peter Marshall went through. God, we're so nerdy.
I know.
We're talking about other podcasts, but Peter Marshall went through and did exactly what I wanted. He was like, "Well, Jackie Mason wasn't good on this show."
Yeah, right.
Or he'd go,
"Buddy Hackett wasn't good.
Wally Cox would be great if you gave him a line."
Yeah.
Like he explained who was good and who wasn't and why.
Yeah.
And then he also shit on Dan Rowan's grade.
Yeah. Okay.
Which I loved.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm just saying the point of that is like there's always been this nostalgia of let's just bring people back.
Sure.
But it doesn't, you know, it's not good. It's sort of, you know, it never really works.
And I'm sure we belabored this point 1,000 times, but when Conan would, like, bring out Nipsey Russell or, like...
Grady from Fred Sanford.
He did a
Where's
Grady contest, and kids drew in their pictures of what they thought Grady looked like. And,
yeah, right.
Like, okay, that's doing something with it.
Yeah.
There's an ironic
level
of... I understand that these pop culture celebrities aren't really important.
Yes.
But I'm remembering them.
Yeah.
It's not just going, would Fallon just go, hey guys, it's Grady.
Yeah.
Hey, remember Grady?
Yeah.
Oh, you're kindly old black man from the show.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's a real big difference between what Letterman and Conan would do with that stuff. Letterman would bring out old timey guys. But he'd bring out the ones like Professor Irwin Corey who were crazy.
Yeah.
And they'd go out and ramble and do their crazy
shit. Yeah, it's just nostalgia. Nostalgia only goes so far. And, you know, nostalgia is not comedy.
No, sir.
It's not comedy. It can make you feel good, but it's not comedy.
No.
It's not, you know.
It's got to have a little dimension to it.
It does. It has to have some, you know.
It's either got to have a spoof.
Well, it's like somebody was talking about, I think it was... you know, I think it was George Takei on Gilbert, but when he was talking about, you know, or Frank probably brought it up, and he said, you know, one of the great sketches was William Shatner on SNL.
Sure.
You know, with the Get a Life thing. You know, that was one of the great sketches because it was him, you know, doing Star Trek, but also going like, look, hey, it's time to get over yourselves.
Right.
You know, it was what Shatner really feels about him.
Right,
you know, which
right,
is
right,
which
right,
is
right,
different
right.
than, you know.
Well, it had a joke. It had a comedy. There's a joke there.
But you know, you don't think, do you think the Saved by the Bell people, well, I mean, okay, Dustin Diamond aside, those people don't want to fucking do Saved by the Bell again.
No.
They don't. They don't want to sit there and dress up in those outfits.
That's kind of the nightmare. Somebody should do a show, actually, about that. Well, Galaxy Quest kind of hinted at this, touched on it a little bit. That you're in a prison of... You did a show in 1978, and then for the rest of your fucking life, people go, what was it like when you were on the set of What's Happening?
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't know. I haven't talked to those fucking assholes in 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? And you're all, Burt Ward
and
Adam West were out there at the Comic-Con this year in their 70s, schlepping around, talking about Batman, which ran for 3 years in the 60s.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're going to, that's a hellish nightmare.
There's
actually probably a really good show to be done in that.
Well, Jimmy Walker, for years I heard before I ever worked with him, that Jimmy wouldn't say dynamite. Like, you couldn't pay him to say dynamite. Right. He just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it as part of his stand-up. Now, I've seen Jimmy and he does say dynamite because he, like, plugs, like, he has a dynamite shirt or something. You know, but it's not like, but, yeah, the story was for years he just wouldn't even, he wouldn't do the catchphrase. He just
well,
was like,
you know, and I don't really blame him.
I don't blame him either, but you know,
Sal, our buddy, was like, "How come you don't do the Sinatra bit anymore?"
Yes,
and I was like, "Ugh," like because I don't think it was very good, and I stopped doing it years ago. You know what I mean? Like,
it's,
I did it as a younger guy in an earlier.
Your Sinatra
part,
bit was funny, but it was
it's had its run.
Well, it's not terribly original.
No.
It's not as original as you would like to be as a comedian.
No, it's something I did at the time when I was trying to build.
It was entertaining when you did it, but it wasn't,
I'm not upset I did it at the time. I just, not something I want to do now. Okay. So I understand when guys go, fuck you, I'm not going to, you know, although Donnie Most was on Gilbert talking about
I heard some of that.
He's Don Most now.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that, asshole.
Good luck with Don Most. By the way, I saw him on a Murder, She Wrote the other day. I watched the Murder, She Wrote.
The best is him as Moloch on Chips.
Okay. I don't know if I've
seen
that.
We'll have
to
put that clip up. He plays a satanic rock and roller a la Alice Cooper and or
was that
Kiss.
Post Happy Days?
Yeah,
mid Happy Days? Where was that?
Happy Days time. Well, whenever Chips was on.
Well, the thing is, you know, he left Happy Days for like, you know, he left Happy Days like with four seasons left.
Yeah,
so he was probably doing that concurrently with Happy Days.
When is Chips? Well, Chips ran about.
I feel like Chips was before Happy Days, but it really wasn't.
78, 89.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You know, so probably maybe a little after, maybe whatever.
But anyway, so
those last seasons of Happy Days when they're all gone. All
right. Well, the funniest thing I think here's the reunion I'm looking forward to. When Bill Cosby reunites with his victim in the court trial.
Oh.
Cosby's officially going to trial. That was news today. For drugging a woman and sticking his hand down her pants and fondling her. Corey, your comments.
Mike. Well, you see, Theo, you don't put the hand in the pants until the roofie has kicked in, you see. Sorry, I got to do the bad Cosby. I don't know.
Well, isn't that your defense if you're Cosby? She was knocked out. How the fuck can she know what
happened? Yeah, exactly.
How does she know what happened?
Why would she know?
Why would she know what I did to her when she was knocked out?
The Cosby thing is just so sad because if they were like, Bill Cosby fucked 800 women.
Yeah.
I would say, not a surprise.
Not a story. And Cosby, not a bad guy for doing it. Well, you could say he's a bad guy.
Well, he's a bad guy for doing this. I'm kind of the opinion that I can't put a number on it, but a high number.
Yeah.
You'd call it a runaway election. If like 80% of those women went up to his room knowing what was going to happen.
Sure. Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's probably even a low number.
That's yes.
There might've been a couple girls that went up to Cosby's room thinking he was going to talk to them about, you know, fucking Brown University. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was
right.
Going to talk to him about college
yeah, Temple. Yeah.
Temple. Maybe. But I think most of those women knew that they were going up to the room to have sex with Bill Cosby.
Pretty much.
He then decided that he wanted to drug them.
Well, yeah.
What the fuck was that?
That was
about?
My analysis at the time. Was people were trying to defend Cosby going, he can fuck any of these girls. Why would he drug them? And the reason he drugged them is because he wanted to drug them.
Right.
And that's sort of the Mike Tyson thing, too. You know, that was Mike Tyson's defense. Well, she came up to the room. Well, it doesn't mean that Mike Tyson didn't, you know, forcibly have sex with her. It sounds like he did, you know what I mean? But that's because Mike Tyson wanted to do that.
Yeah.
It's not because he had to do it. You know, people feel like, you know, you must use a sleeping pill because you can't get laid. But no, you use a sleeping pill because you wanted to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a guy that can get laid.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like Dickie Dickman from Open Mic.
No, that guy can't.
Was dropping roofies in people.
No. God, no.
Insert name of open micer here.
Well, listen, it was one time, and I'm fine with it. It's fine.
With the Dickie Dickman.
I needed a release. Believe me, I was backed up.
Wait, did you sign a release with Dickie Dickman roofied you?
I needed a release from Dickie.
Dickie Dickman.
Dickie Dickman.
Roofied you.
He roofied me and took me, yes.
Used the big strap-on that Ellen uses on Porsche.
He used the... Dickie Dickman. By the way.
And then Dickie Dickman said, can I get a spot at the Comedy Cast?
Can Ellen not sell a fucking giant strap-on dildo on QVC?
I think she
Is
should.
Is that beyond her?
Dental dams.
Yeah.
Come on, Ellen.
Ellen.
Get real.
Here's your home furnishings, Ellen. Well, here's my bedroom here. This is the We have a strap on for every night of the week here. Sometimes Portia puts on the, you know. You see, they build up gradually.
I bet every piece of furniture Ellen has vibrates.
You think so? Yeah. You think it's just a constant, like, yeah. It's just a constant.
I
like,
so wish I had the drop buttons right now.
Nah, we don't need those.
We use a large vibrating. I want to drop that one vibrating. So hard. Yeah.
But she, Ellen can't do that. She can't sell those.
No. No, she's got to dance for the housewives.
She's got to dance.
My mom gave me this fucking Ellen cow thing that shoots like styrofoam balls.
What?
It's like a doll. It's like a cow.
Yeah.
And you squeeze it and it pops out like styrofoam balls.
And Ellen was playing with this on her show.
Ellen played with that on her show. And mom thought that was great.
So some company said to Ellen,
yeah,
we'll give you $50,000 if you play with this toy.
Uh-huh.
And then they sell a million of them to housewives. Uh-huh. Oh, there you go. Uh-huh. Way to go.
Oh,
wait. First of all, if you want to give me $50,000, I'll strap one on and fuck Corey right here on this show. There you go. That's fine.
If I get a cut of that, if I'm in on that cut, fine.
You're fine. That's all right, Corey.
If I get a share,
that's fine. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. This ass fucking brought to you by Arizona Iced Tea. Enjoy an Arnold Palmer while you're getting fucked in the rear. It's half lemonade. It's half iced tea. It's all fun.
That's right.
It's like a good-ass fucking.
Nothing like an 80-year-old fucking golfer for the young, vigorous beverage. I enjoy the.
You enjoy the Arnold Palmer.
I enjoy the Arnold Palmer, sure.
Arnold Palmer in a can.
Mm-hmm.
How much did Arizona give to our? How much does he get for that?
That's a great question.
He probably gets $1 billion a year from those fucking things.
I wonder what their deal is, yeah.
It's amazing.
They tried to do like Shaq sodas, and those didn't work.
I don't know. You sure?
Yeah, we remember because Sal told us. He brought him in.
Oh,
remember?
Did he bring in Shaq soda?
Remember we brought in, like, Shaq's Blueberry Dream or whatever it was.
Because doesn't Shaq do Sprite commercials or something? Or?
Yeah, he does. Sprite
I don't know what he does. How much do you think they make off Rap Snacks, those guys? How many think the...
Are those still, are they still
iced
making
tea
rap
pork
snacks?
Rinds? I think so. I think I saw somebody add it on Facebook recently.
Rap Snacks.
You don't think the Ice Cube...
When we used to work
hot
at...
Hot Fries.
When I worked at Real Detroit, we would go to the... like right across the street, there was the little like hoodie bodega,
yeah.
And they had wrap snacks.
Yeah.
And we would often get those for a laugh.
Sure,
they weren't good.
Did you see the kid who got busted for? He was selling hot fries, and Cheetos, and Flamin' Hot Cheetos. He found like little baggies, and he was selling them for a quarter. He'd buy a bag of hot fries, and then break it up into little bags. And sell it to, like, the kids in fifth grade, and they suspended him from school.
What you should really do is buy the $3 bag.
Yeah, that's
then,
what I mean. Yeah, he would break.
And then break
it. But no, it was like you'd get, like, three hot fries for a quarter. And the kid was making money, and they suspended him from school.
That's entrepreneurship.
That's what I say.
That's America for you, baby.
That's it. I'm starting.
Market-based solutions.
All right, I'm gonna work on this. The Wire 2. It's just hot fries.
Uh huh.
At elementary.
You're gonna pick
inner city elementary schools.
Let's pick corners, and then we'll get in a turf war.
Right. Hey, man.
Man, I need them Funyuns.
You got any Flamin' Hots, man? Yeah. I need some Flamin' Hots.
Man, I'm jonesing for a bugle.
Oh man. Oh what? What? Oh, he a cop. He a cop. He a cop. All right, let's move on.
Selling individual.
Yeah, the kid was.
Well, you know what? That's like Lucy's.
Yeah, it was a kid. It was a
guy selling.
But it was like a kid doing it. So, you know, he's probably like. He probably watched his dad break up a brick of weed one night and said, hey.
Living in this grand, rotted out bullshit metropolis.
Yes.
I always enjoy when you go to the gas station and they're selling like individual cigarettes.
Yes.
Like not packs, individual cigarettes for like 10 cents a piece or something. Yeah. And then they sell, like, bean pies.
Right.
You know you're in an authentic Detroit gas station when there's... One, there's the plexiglass between you and the guy behind the counter. Like, not even, like... There is at every store to some extent, but, like, not at 7-Eleven. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, 3-inch thick plexiglass, and there's a hole you got to stick your arm underneath. You get a bean pie and a loose cigarette.
Right, I have, rather than talking out my ass...
Oh, you have the story.
Now, this is kind of a hood website. A 9-year-old boy in California has learned the hard way that selling contraband has consequences. The young man who attends school in Montebello, California, was caught selling little baggies containing between 4 and 6 individual hot Cheetos for 20 cents each. The young man was making a killing. He purchased a large bag of Frito-Lay's Hot Cheetos and then broke it up into small baggies. According to the man's parents, he was making approximately $5 a day on profits. But the school was not going to allow the plug to make all that money. The young kid was caught and suspended. So there you go. I don't know how true that is. It's on, like, Media Takeout. It's on, like, all the hood websites. Look at the
bag. It's pretty great. And those are like little weed bags.
Right, they're little crack bags of Cheetos.
Yeah, those are what drugs would come in.
And like, I think those are hot fries, and those are Cheetos.
You know, the aforementioned Dave Lando, this kid should stand out. He's now there's like dispensaries.
Yes.
This weird thing has happened, this weird phenomenon.
Oh, God, Detroit is so fucked
up. Of like medical marijuana, which... It's not like Colorado or Washington where I went to a dispensary.
Yeah,
and they're completely legal.
Yes,
this is like medical marijuana shops have built. They're quasi legal.
There's one on almost every block on 8 Mile.
They're
on the Detroit side of 8 Mile.
They're in a gray zone. And as Dave Landau's great joke is, he's like, I can't believe that they're selling weed where they used to sell weed.
Yes, exactly.
There's like now there's like a storefront
right. Store
on the same corner.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, this kid should stand out in front of those weed dispensaries and sell the 20-cent bag of Cheetos.
Well, they took the bag that sold the snacks to the guys who bought the pot, and now they're just going to sell the pot.
How much of a... Now, you and I were fat kids.
Yeah.
What kind of fat kid behavior is it to buy the 20-cent
bag? Yeah,
I need me four Cheetos right now.
Look, part of me says this could be an urban legend. But it's pretty great anyway. I'm a fan of it. It's plausible.
I need me those four Cheetos.
It's strictly plausible.
Gots to get me four Cheetos.
But let's say you're a kid and you're in class and you don't have any access to Cheetos and you really want some Cheetos and you can get this little baggie that you sneak under the desk.
I guess so. You can just get
some Cheetos.
Get a hit. Get a quick hit.
All right. A couple things here before we go. Morley Safer died, one of the original 60 Minutes guys, which is very sad. Now, again, in my prognostication, he last did a story in March. It was his last story on the air. And I called Corey. It's about an architect.
Yeah.
You can look this up online. You actually can't watch the story because it's not. You have to subscribe to 60 Minutes online to get the story.
The paywall.
Unbelievable. Anyway, but I was watching the story and Morley Safer, his interview with the guy, you know, he was just old and watery eyed and, you know, looked ancient. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think it was, like, the voiceover that they dub in, and they probably dubbed that in, like, the last week before it airs. It was so, like, it was so froggy. And I called you while I was watching it and go, Corey, are you watching this Morley Safer 60 Minutes? Because the guy can barely talk. I think we've seen enough of this guy.
And Morley Safer had a beautiful, like, comforting voice. Morley Safer sounded like a leather-bound volume.
Sure, yeah.
Of Dickens or something. Yeah. Like, had a real
deep voice and a folksy way of talking. And at the end, it was all, and I go, this Morley Safer's got to get off the air. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Turns out the guy was sick and he dropped dead.
Well.
And that was his last piece.
We always know. Look at the eyes.
Watery eyes.
When you get those watery eyes.
Cosby's got the watery eyes.
Cosby's got like one bad eye and the watery eye. And
his eyes look like his sweaters now. It's just random patterns of shit. It's just his face. His face is full of freckles and shit.
Yeah, it is.
His face is just like a fucking...
Old black people get freckles. It's a weird thing.
He's all kind of...
Like they're
like
breaking,
liver spots.
They're like breaking down. Morgan Freeman's got freckles.
Yeah, it's all weird.
It's weird.
Cosby's all wild looking.
I don't know why old black guys get freckles.
And I got a movie review. Now, this movie...
Okay.
By the way, I've not seen Civil War. I haven't seen that. Any review? You've seen it?
No, I didn't see it.
Boy, you're what a comic book fan you are.
I know. Well, you know what?
You've seen enough. You've seen enough Marvel movies.
I saw all of them.
I know.
And I've seen like everything.
I know.
And I'm kind of at the point where I go.
X-Men comes out this week.
Yeah. I might see that.
And you'll see that over Civil War.
My favorite line was in Master of None.
Yeah.
When which is what's his name show?
Aziz Ansari
show. And they were like, we got to go see this new X-Men movie. And they walked out of it and they go, of the 9 X-Men movies
right,
that's like the 5th best
movie. Yeah, I know.
And that's the thing with the X-Men movies. You're like, I even liked the last two. But it's like, I've seen it.
I can't remember the last. I saw X-Men First Class was the last one I saw.
First Class, and then
but that was. But I'm saying
Days of Future Past.
But there's also been at least one Wolverine in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not.
There's been two.
I can't even count the Wolverines.
There was X-Men Origin Wolverine, which was terrible.
Okay.
And then there was just the Wolverine, the which was better.
Yeah. My feeling with those is just call all of them X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Release X-Men every year on the same day. What, who cares what it's called?
Wolverine. Yeah.
Well, Fast and Furious. Just call it Fast and Furious. Uh-huh. Release it every year. It's fine. No one cares what it's
called.
Well,
they got to get cute with
you got to put the colon on, and no one cares.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen this one.
F7.
Yeah, of course you've seen it. You saw the other ones. It's the same fucking shit. Yeah, go now, give us your fucking money.
Look, look. You think this is new?
Yeah.
Bob Hope and Bing Crosby were on the road to Morocco, and then they were on the road to Singapore, and then they were on the road to Zanzibar.
Stanley, have we seen the road to Zimbabwe?
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, Carol.
Yeah.
It's in the paper. It's playing this afternoon.
Here's the thing. Bob Hope's got some scheme to make money quick, and they're going to chase after Dorothy Lamour in a bikini. It's the same guy in a sarong. It's the same fucking premise.
Well, I saw a movie that had no premise like that whatsoever. I saw a movie. Now, this movie was out, I think, in like February, March. It comes out in a couple weeks on video and for rental and stuff. But I saw Midnight Special with Michael Shannon, Joel Edgerton, and Adam Driver.
Okay.
And it's a sci-fi road movie.
Yeah.
And I have to say, it's a great premise. It's the same guy. He made Mud, and he made Take Shelter.
Okay.
Was also with Michael Shannon, if you saw either of those movies.
What is that guy's name?
I can't remember the fucking guy's name. But basically, they're on the road with a kid who, like, they kidnap a kid from a cult who's got special powers. And the cult is looking for him.
Jeff Nichols. That's why I couldn't remember, because it's a very generic name.
Yeah. So the kid has special powers, and the cult is trying to get him, and then the cops... So, like, everybody's chasing this kid, and it's kind of Close Encounters, but it's way darker, and it's kind of, like, Fringe in a way. It's kind of got that element to it.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Like, Adam Driver's the cop. He's sort of the, he's a, like a CIA analyst or an NSA analyst who has to decode, like, and then there's this cult that they bust. And the cult was sort of like a doomsday cult, and the kid was the key to the doomsday. And Michael Shannon, it's really good, though. Michael Shannon's great. Joel Edgerton is great. But here's the thing about it. Even though I liked it and I'm giving it a thumbs up, I think a lot of people are going to be bored with this. It's just not a Hollywood action story.
Well, the Jeff Nichols movies are...
They're a little intense.
Here's another movie that's too weird for people.
Yeah.
The Lobster.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
That is a bizarre movie.
Okay.
It's Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
And Rachel Weisz.
Yeah.
The premise is that in the future, in some weird dystopian future, if you're not in a couple, they send you to this like camp.
Okay.
And you've got like 60 days to like fall in love, or they reassign you as an animal.
Oh.
And like Colin Farrell's brother is a dog because he didn't successfully find a mate.
And this is a new movie?
Yeah. It's out now.
It's out now.
And it's as weird as
the
it sounds.
Lobster.
And then like you can you can earn extra time by hunting down escaped people that are like hiding in the woods.
Okay.
That want to be single.
And this is serious. There's no...
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy.
A weird black comedy, weird fucking movie.
Yeah, Midnight Special is all legit. There's no comedy. There's no wink. There's no nothing. It's dark. You know, and it's... Because Take Shelter was sort of an end-of-the-world scenario and about paranoid people.
Yeah,
and
sure.
This movie is even more so. I think it was a little better than Take Shelter. But again...
Michael Shannon's tremendous.
Michael Shannon's great in this, too. And so it's very good. It's got some, but it is a lot of, like, and I said, you know, I was sitting there watching it and I'm going, you know, if they would just cut the long takes of people staring at each other by half.
Well, that's like every
you'd cut
indie
45
movie.
Fucking minutes out of this fucking thing. It's almost 2 hours long, but it was pretty good. Midnight Special. I recommend it. But again, with reservations, if you're a sci-fi fan, you're a fan of that guy's other movies, I think you'll dig Midnight Special. Didn't enjoy it as much as something like I enjoyed like Monsters more. Like, if you want to talk about indie sci-fi, kind of. Like, I think that was a better movie. But that was more like budget blockbuster, whereas this is almost like sci-fi as indie movie. You know what I mean? Sort of like that.
Yeah.
What was the movie where the girl, was it like Another Earth or something, where the girl would look up and see Earth, but it was a different Earth?
Oh, geez.
And she wanted to get to that Earth. It was a pretty cool movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was sci-fi, but it wasn't sci-fi. And that's kind of, although this movie does have some effects in it and stuff. And it's good. It's good, but again, I'm only recommending it to certain people. Your mom and dad ain't going to watch this fucking thing.
Yeah.
They're not.
Now, here's a movie
thing.
That the critics, that did not get a warm critical reception, but I thought was not, I thought was pretty good.
What's
Money
that?
Monster.
Didn't see it.
And I heard an interview with Jodie Foster, and she sounded like, we were ripping on Ellen. Ellen at least seems like she can have a good time.
Yes.
Jodie Foster sounded like the most dour, unfun, cerebral,
yeah,
pain in the ass. Anyway, it's directed by Jodie Foster. It got a 54% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's not
people
good.
Kind of slammed it. I enjoyed it. I think people missed the, it's trying to be a 70s movie.
Okay.
It's kind of trying to be, but not like, it's trying to be like Taking a Pelham 1-2-3.
Oh, okay.
That's the feel they're going for.
Yeah.
Not saying that they got all the way there.
Right.
It doesn't work as well as that, but
is it a caper movie?
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of like, it's George Clooney is like a Jim Cramer style host.
Yeah.
And a guy breaks in the studio.
Okay.
And holds him hostage.
Okay.
Because he's trying to get some answers.
So it's a little Dog Day Afternoon. It's a
yeah,
little
it's
bit,
a little bit of that. Okay. It doesn't, no, it's, is it on that level? No.
No.
But I got what they were attempting to go with it, sure. And it doesn't play out in the way that you would think all these movies do.
Mm-hmm.
It has a little bit of a darker ending. Clooney and Julia Roberts are always, you know, they're usually good.
Sure.
I enjoyed Money Monster for what it was. That was a pretty good popcorn movie, and people were kind of slamming it. I don't know.
You know what
happens? They go, oh, that fucking Julia Roberts, she thinks she's hot shit.
Well, yeah, there's some resentment towards her, and I think there's resentment when she doesn't play
Julia Roberts.
She doesn't play the princess.
And she's,
you know?
Yeah, no, she plays the producer, and she's like hard-nosed,
yeah,
and she's not playing America's Sweetheart.
Yeah, she's
not
America's
Sweetheart. They'll
punish
her for that.
And, you know, and I also think, you know, stars, I think at this point, are overrated on, you know, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when was the last Julia Roberts that was a big hit?
Well, I don't think they're overrated, you know, in that they're good.
No. But I'm saying as far as being a draw, as far as like bringing people to the theater, Clooney hasn't brought people to the theater in a long time. You know,
no. And although Clooney has been very careful about his selection,
sure. But you know, it's in
Tomorrowland certainly didn't bring anybody.
Right. Well, I mean, was it Aaron Brockovich was the last big hit Julia Roberts movie? I mean, I'd have to look it up.
Pray Love.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, there's something. There you go.
That was sold as a Julia Roberts.
But that was an ensemble thing based on a really big book. So maybe that's not. Maybe that doesn't count even.
Well,
for her draw, but still, yeah. I mean, it's Money Monster not setting the world on fire.
Did not, but I think it's a. Okay. I think if you saw it on HBO, you'd watch it.
Okay, maybe I will.
It's a pretty solid flick.
Maybe I will, but yeah, Midnight Special. Like I said, you can rent that soon, or buy it soon, and. Probably like
they have beaten
it.
Her.
Got great reviews. Wow. What can you look up the Metacritic on Midnight Special or
I'm just looking
Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm looking at the reviews on Julia Roberts.
Oh,
she's gotten
recent ones,
she's
sure.
gotten pounded on everything.
Oh yeah.
The Normal Heart got a 94,
yeah,
but Mother's Day got 8%. Well, that's Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
Money Monster 54, Secret in Their Eyes 39. Jesus Henry Christ, I don't even know what that is. Oh, she's the executive producer. Larry Crown, that got nailed.
Yeah, Larry Crown.
Oh, one that, okay, speaking of big stars that can't open, A Hologram for the King with Tom Hanks.
What is that?
Tom Hanks has this propensity for weird pictures, right? Like,
I don't even know what that is.
Okay, it's based on a Dave Eggers novel.
Okay.
And Tom Hanks is a salesman that goes to Saudi Arabia to sell the King of Saudi Arabia on a, like, hologram interface, like a, you know, like an IT communication thing, so they can hologram in people.
Sure.
And then the king makes him kind of wait, and he just sits in the desert and kind of does nothing. Well, that didn't work.
Yeah.
People didn't like it. But I feel like Tom Hanks likes weird, like Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah, sometimes he
Once
does.
In a while, he'll just pick a
well,
really...
Well, Cloud Atlas and...
Yeah, and this is by Tom Twyker, so...
Okay. Well, I have the Rotten Tomatoes on... Midnight Special was 83%
right.
fresh, And the Metacritic was 76, so it's well done. Although the audience vote is lower than the critics, which generally means it's not good. Yeah, Money Monster's 54% on Rotten Tomatoes. And
well, Money Monster is lower than Hologram for the King, and I think that might be just because they're punishing Julia Roberts or something. I don't know why they're being...
Apparently The Nice Guys is good.
Yeah, that, I haven't I didn't see that. Black.
I may see The Nice Guys. That looks like something I might see. So, anyway, having said all that,
we out.
Well, I never saw 10 Cloverfield Lane either. Speaking of sci-fi,
okay,
and that had good reviews. So, I like the first Cloverfield.
I've got merch for that if you liked it.
Let me see the movie first before you sell me the fucking thing. All right,
I got a box full of merch.
Please, do you have a Chewbacca mask, you dickface?
If I did, I'd have sold it already.
Well, Corey and I will be trying on, I'll be in my car trying on different hats, mm-hmm. hoping for 100 million views. That's where you can catch me this holiday weekend.
I will be trying on different strap-on dildos.
Yes, please do.
For whenever Dickie Dickman roofies me. And then we'll be
you know, I would strap one on to fuck Ellen. Which I know sounds
You
weird.
Wouldn't even use.
I wouldn't even use. Wouldn't well, even use my penis wouldn't stay hard for Ellen.
Your own,
think.
No?
I don't think
you wouldn't
so.
You'd have to. Popsicle,
oh, what I'd have to do.
Two popsicle sticks and some electrical tape. Give that thing a backbone.
I think what I would need is like an open computer interface that showed me all of
pornography?
All of Ellen's money.
Oh.
And then my penis would get...
You need a bank statement.
I need a check made out to me that I can stare
You'd
at
You'd have to
I
hold
a
bank statement.
Yeah, please hold on. Ellen, make out a check to me, and I will fuck you while looking at the check.
Oh, shit.
That's what I will do. That's how I can have sex with Ellen.
Well, next week we'll be playing Oprah or Ellen. Who would you fuck?
All right, Oprah, Ellen, or Whoopi. F, Mary, kill. Let's get out on this. There you go. There's an intrigue for you.
Ouch.
Oprah, Ellen, or Whoopi.
I'm going to kill Whoopi right off the bat.
You're killing Whoopi?
Yeah, I might marry Oprah.
Ooh.
Because then you'd be like, because you'd be like, you'd be like Stedman. And you could just be a kept man and you're,
yeah,
you could just sit around
marry
the mansion.
Oprah and kill
you might
Whoopi.
Have to, you know what you got to do? This is what
okay, Stedman, but, okay.
This is what Stedman does. Stedman moves the cars in the driveway. That's what he does. Stedman's on the payroll. He just sits around the pool. Once in a while, he's got to go to a gala, put on a tie. That's all. That's an easy job.
I see Stedman putting together Oprah's IKEA furniture. I don't know why I see that. The problem, like I,
is
like,
that like, Oprah's got like $800 like, million, right. And she's got IKEA furniture.
Or I see Oprah getting like a big stack of QVC boxes on her porch every day, and Stedman has to bring them in and assemble her products.
Right, right.
That's what I see Stedman doing.
She gets the... Blue, what is the blue apron?
Yeah, blue apron.
Stedman's got to go collect the blue apron off the porch.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, but by your premise, though, you have to F Ellen then.
Yeah. I'll be like, dance, right. dance for me.
I've got it. I've got it completely different than you. Okay. Oh. You fuck Oprah.
Okay.
Oprah's got big tits. You can fuck Oprah.
Okay.
You fuck Oprah. You kill Ellen, mm-hmm. and you marry Whoopi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoopi.
Look, you're not going to fuck the woman you marry anyway, so you might as well be with Whoopi.
Hey.
So why not?
Whoopi's hey now.
Whoopi's the funniest of the three by far. You might have a good time. Whoopi smokes pot. You might have a good time with Whoopi.
Whoopi.
So I am saying you...
You know, you're right. Whoopi would probably be more fun to hang out with.
I mean, look, do you marry Oprah and then you get the Oprah money? I mean, is that part of it too?
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Whoopi's got money. Not Oprah money.
She ain't got... She ain't got Oprah money.
She ain't got money like me.
Woo.
Well, no, I think that's what I would do.
The View money is pretty good.
Yeah, the View money's pretty good.
I'd be certainly happy with that.
Oprah, Whoopi's did some big movies. Whoopi's got money.
I'd be happy with the money. I'd marry PJ Jaco's for that Hungry Howie's local commercial.
That's the kind of money you're looking
for? Yeah, I'd be happy with that money.
All right, that's fine.
No, I'd take that.
That's good.
Joel tried out for that bit. Couldn't get
I was out auditioned for that bit. Who knows where
Someone
I'd be
Someone hustled you
I couldn't
to be the Hungry
Well, the
Howie's
thing
guy.
Is they got rid of him.
And then they brought him back.
And then they had two other guys. And then I think I auditioned not... I don't know if I think I auditioned to actually replace PJ originally.
Uh-huh.
And didn't get it. And I think
they
the guys, they
finally stopped running your your appliance store commercial.
Oh, my ABC Warehouse commercial?
That ran for a long time.
Yeah, I think that one's over now. But Gordy just was getting real old, so they needed to shoot those. Like, Gordy from ABC Warehouse?
They had to stockpile those?
Yeah, they have to shoot that and, like, run it for 10 years.
Is he
Gordy,
dead?
No, he was real old when we did, though.
They just retired Gordy?
He was, like, he could barely move, like, on set, so it was kind of sad, but... Anyway, let's get out of here.
Okay.
Stroll
Gordy
Radio.
Got the watery eyes.
Gordy got the watery eyes. That was it. We found him.
I get watery eyes looking at James Corden.
get watery eyes looking at Ellen DeGeneres.
That unfunny, blobby sack of protoplasm.
Okay, now, let's be honest, though. You want to put some money on it?
Fuck, marry, kill James Corden, the Chewbacca
Jimmy
lady.
Jimmy Fallon.
and Beanie Feldstein.
well, I think you killed James Corden. You F the Chewbacca lady.
You fucked the Chewbacca lady.
You fucked the Chewbacca lady.
Are you very mean?
First of all, Corey, I think I'd fuck the Chewbacca lady if she wasn't the Chewbacca lady. You know, I don't think that's asking much. I mean, really, not.
I know you'd fuck Beanie Feldstein.
I would definitely.
If she walked into the open mic,
I really
know you'd fuck her.
I really would fuck the Chewbacca lady.
Oh,
look,
geez.
Here's the difference. I wouldn't tell you I fucked the Chewbacca lady.
That's the thing.
But I would fuck the Chewbacca. You think, Corey?
You wouldn't announce it.
Corey, you think I fuck girls that are uglier than the Chewbacca lady? Yeah, of course I have.
Wow. Well, that's a revelation to go out on, folks.
I fucked older and fatter ladies than her. Well, I mean, why not?
Oh, my God.
Please.
I never tried to hide.
All right. How wide is the mouth on the Chewbacca mask? Because I'm pretty thick. I might not be able to fit full... Because if you're going to fuck her, she's got to wear the mask, right?
Yeah, right. No one wants to see.
Yeah, you don't want to...
Let's not get kinky.
You'd rather...
And have her take it off.
Here's what happened to me. I would seduce the Chewbacca mask lady, and I'd lay down, and I'd shove my fucking cock in the mask, and then she'd take the mask off, and it would be James Corden. And then I would be like, oh, my God.
This is a disturbing
I just
scenario.
Got blown by an English late-night comedian. What the fuck?
Oh, so you're saying, like, there's no difference between their bodies?
Yeah, just, you wouldn't be able to tell,
both
yeah.
Just they're both just gelatinous mounds of fucking
both
goo.
Blabby. Yeah.
And yeah. I'm a fat guy, and I think James Corden's a disgusting fat piece of shit. Like it'd be like the Killer Bees.
Like, yes, you couldn't tell. Like you couldn't tell.
They were like mass tag team. You couldn't tell the difference?
Yes. One would
we've
be...
hit a new low. I think we've really taken
it. I thought my F, Mary, Kill would end the show, but we couldn't leave it there. Couldn't leave it far.
All right.
Well, Corey, I just want everybody to know this is our audition tape for The Nine on Fox 2.
That's right.
So we're hoping.
We'll be coming on.
We're hoping.
Roop Rods, we're coming for you.
Amy Andrews, look out. You're going to be flanked on either side. Hey, Dina, keep those legs crossed. Corey and I are coming.
Q, we're making a sandwich.
Shit.
I can't wait till we're dancing with Ellen.
Oh,
it's
no.
Gonna
we're going to be dancing.
Oh, you know, Meredith Vieira's gone, so there's a slot
no,
open
that, that
for
Meredith
us.
Vieira went off the air. God.
What if it's you, me, the Chewbacca lady, and Tamar Braxton?
Well, that's the show.
Yeah, there it is.
Meredith Vieira.
Yeah.
And Tamar Braxton and Lee Thomas.
There you go.
There's your trio.
There it is. Make it happen. Execs, make that happen.
We'll do it. We'll give it to him. Joel Radio Production Company.
It's it's Carson Daly. Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yes. All right, let's get out of here.
All right,
that's enough nonsense. Goodbye. Enjoy your holiday weekend if you're in the States. And if you're not...
Fuck you. Fuck you, foreigner.
Enjoy your week at work, asshole. Goodbye.